Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Page Podcast. My name is John Mayo, and I'll be your host. The segment you're about to hear originally ran as the special report episode of the Comic Geek Speak podcast and was originally released on August 16th, 2006. As you might guess by the title, the topic was the announcement that Civil War IV was being delayed. It was a popular topic of discussion that week.
This is Comic Geek Speak special Civil War lateness discussion. Welcome to Comic Geek Speak. I'm Brian Deemer.
I'm Kevin Moyer.
I'm Jamie D.
And I'm Peter Rios.
And we're here with a special episode to talk about what's being talked about everywhere in the known universe, and that is the big announcement from Marvel that the Civil War schedule has been pushed back.
We want to lay out what everything that happened, all the news reports and the press releases and such. We'll start there. Tuesday night, right? Is that when we saw it?
Yeah, because it was right after we were done podcasting.
Tuesday night, Marvel released a press release saying that over the next few weeks, the Civil War proper title and a few of the tie-in books that are closely related to the story in the main book will be shipping later than originally planned. In an attempt to accommodate the creative team of Miller and McNiven and keep the artistic integrity and high standards of the event, we will be shifting the following titles. This was posted on Newsarama, and they go through and list, looks like 30-plus titles that are shifting in from their original solicitations, including Civil War IV, which will now be shipping September 20th, Civil War V, which moves to November 15th, Civil War VI moves to December 20th, and Civil War VII moves to January 17th, but hadn't been solicited yet anyway. And then including in that press release were solicitations that were moved, or I should say comics that were moved, including Fantastic Four, Civil War Frontline, Amazing Spider-Man, Punisher War Journal, and then they also also the Civil War variants as well. Then they added, there are additions to the checklist: Black Panther 23, 24, 25, Civil War War Crimes one shot, and there will be a Civil War Frontline 11. Originally a 10 issue miniseries, will now be 11. And then at the bottom it says, also starting in November, some Marvel will be branded as Casualties of War, similar to how they branded titles as Spider-Man Unmasked and Road to Civil War. These titles are Moon Knight 7, Captain America Winter Soldier Special, Iron Man / Captain America Special, Moon Knight 8, Blade 5, and Moon Knight 9. So that was the initial press release that was released, and one of the reasons why we did this special episode is because we know a lot of our listeners listen to the show, but that's about as far as they go. They don't go to the website. They don't go to Newsarama. They don't really go onto the internet. So we wanted to make sure you guys knew what was going on. And then after this announcement came a whole flurry of discussion on our boards, on Newsarama, everywhere. The good, the bad, the ugly, everything revolving around this announcement. The next sort of big announcement that happened was from Mark Miller. And it's not an official announcement. It was just posted on his forum at millerworld.tv, something like that. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is. So he says, hey, just out of bed, unusually early at 7:55 a.m., and just found out about this in an email from Tom B., meaning Tom Brevoort, the editor on Civil War, mere minutes before seeing the following on Newsarama. All I can say is that this is really good of Marvel. Why? Let me explain. Civil War is 7 issues long, and both the first and last issues were extra size. Steve is a pretty fast artist, maybe a 9 or 10 books a year guy, but he only had a 6 or 7 week head start on the series. Absolutely nothing at all. And it was always going to catch up with him, especially given that 100 characters appear in every issue, and it's the most labor-intensive thing he's ever drawn. It also happens to be the best work of his career, and Marvel could easily just done what DC did and stick fill-in guys on the series. In fact, we expected it for issue 5, because we knew a lot of titles like FF and so on were tying in. But you know what? They didn't. Civil War has rocketed Marvel profits lately. The new figures aren't available yet, but we're doubling and sometimes trebling the sales on the tie-in books. The anthology title, an anthology title, is doing over 100K, and we're heading towards 400K with the book itself. Marvel believes in the project, and they feel me and Steve have formed a good team, something they don't want to fuck with for... earmuffs. For the sake of squeezing a few more bucks into the next financial quarter and so, after doing their sums, decided they'll take a hit. Now this is a pain in the arse for being reading... reading the book because it means waiting a few more weeks for Steve to finish. It's also a pain for people enjoying the tie-ins. But Steve is hammering away here, and these books will all be done and dusted by the new year, and the series and the tie-ins will all be published completely soon afterwards by the original teams and without some grotty fill-ins. It also means the collections remain looking great. It's a hiccup, sure, but I appreciate what they're doing. Seriously, it would have been easy for them and made them much more money to get someone else in to draw issue 5, but they believe in our thing. It's worked out bigger and better than any of us dreamed, and they want it to look as cool as it was originally conceived. In short, apologies for the art delays, but it's worth it. Lots of love, MN. Then, again, some more flurry, some reaction to his thing, including a post that he then posted later saying, to answer that question about McNiven not being given more lead time, well, remember I told you guys Civil War was a very last-minute thing. It came from me and Bendis thinking the planned crossover was a bit rubbish, Brian suggesting the S.H.I.E.L.D. versus Marvel Universe thing instead, and me eventually pitching Civil War. This was just months before the first issue came out. After that, Brian Hitch stuck his nose in it and gave his diatribe on... late artist and what that means, followed by one by Steve McNiven, which he says, hey folks, just thought I should get a post up here. First up, apologies to the fans and retailers of Civil War. The responsibility for the art delays lies with me, period. I've been working harder than I ever had, and this is my third profession, but this is the hardest project I've ever done, and as Mark said, I had little lead time. It was as big a surprise to me as anyone else that Marvel changed its publishing schedule to allow Mark and I to finish the series together. When I was sent word of this yesterday, I realized the problems with this that this will cause for readers and retailers immediately. After reading Hitchy's post, I am beginning to understand why Marvel went this way, but it still amazes me. Of course, I am proud of the work I have done on Civil War, and I am chuffed that Marvel feels the same way, but I worry for the people that could be negatively affected by this. Please realize that the art delays were never meant in a malicious way, nor am I being a prima donna with my work. What I'm trying is to do service to the exceptional story that Mark has written. That's it, and is all that I focus on when I'm at the table. I let Marvel know exactly where I am on a daily basis from day one, so that they can make the decisions like the one they have made. I'll continue to work hard to put out the rest of this series with the best work I can do in the time I have been given, and I hope that you, the fans and retailers, will stick with us, because Mark has written a real gem here. And then the sort of final response, which I'm not going to go through, and you can find on Newsarama, is an interview between Newsarama and Tom Brevoort, where he lays out several things, including knowing that the series was kicked off with Mark Miller, who he admits has... a disease that could at times be crippling, and also that knowing that McNiven is an artist that doesn't put out 12 issues a year. He also goes on to say things
like... I don't get that, though. McNiven worked at CrossGen, never had a late book, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Meridian was out for like 2 years straight with him on the book with no delays, so...
I'll read directly from him instead of paraphrase. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's too huge, but he says... Newsarama asks him what were the factors going in terms of the lead-in time, and he says it's everything. He says, I'm sure Mark would rather I not push this button, but I've got a writer with a chronic condition and a penciler who's never had to handle a story of this magnitude before with this many unfamiliar characters and situations, not to mention this much spotlight pressure. Plus, it's a hard book to do, and we did get something of a late start, though that may have been surmountable if this was an easier sort of project. The first page of issue 1 was sent to me by Steve on January 3rd. Some other things He said, firstly, I think the retailers who are saying this are, they're saying that, here, let me start here. Two things on this. And I say this realizing full well that the retailers are the ones who are being most negatively impacted by these delays, given that it's their cash flow that's being loused up. Firstly, I think the retailers who are saying this are wrong in the long term, because right this second, they're most concerned about their short-term future. So they're not worrying about the long term. But to throw out two examples, look at Ultimate Extinction and the follow-up Ultimate Galactus series. They all sold well enough at the end of the day, but as soon as we had to bring in substitute artists, quality artists in all cases, the momentum of the series immediately started to slow. That trilogy should have been a monster seller for the Ultimate line, but it wasn't. And I think the reason that it wasn't is that the integrity of the project was compromised as we tried to meet the schedule. And that'll also affect the long-term sell-through of the Ultimate Galactus trade paperback. Secondly, I'm always leery of this legitimacy of the more fulminating members of the retail community has to say in these situations. I'm reminded of a very specific example that I witnessed a number of years ago that I always turn to when confronted on something like this. It was during the initial Marvel Knights run on Daredevil when Kevin Smith and Joe Quesada were doing the book. At that time, we had a system in place with Diamond wherein their sales reps would call assorted accounts and we'd receive summaries every 2 weeks about their concerns and reactions to all of the Marvel product. At this time, I think it was Daredevil 6, was about 6 weeks late. And the week before it came out, the retailer feedback we got, this book is dying on the vine, my customers aren't interested anymore, Marvel should allow me to cut my orders by 40% without any penalty. And then 2 weeks later, a week after the issue shipped, we got the retailer feedback and it said, the books flew off the stands, I can't get any more. Marvel should have known the demand was going to outstrip supply and overprint by 10 or 20%, which is to say nobody knows anything absolutely. Again, these are all just little snippets of the interview. And if you want to go into more detail, just check Newsarama's front page on that, because it's just far too much to go into. So basically, the Marvel released a press release. Mark Millar spoke up, forcing Steve McNiven to speak up. Tom Brevoort finally get into it, and didn't seem to make matters any better. So the long of the short of it is that there are delays, major delays with a few of these issues and the tie-ins, and we're just here to bring you all sides of the story.
Shoo.
I'll start. I don't think it's a big deal at all. I really don't. In recent memory, any major headlining book seems like it's always been late for some reason. And it could be for a number of reasons, some of which, you know, today's art is much more detailed than it used to be, so the guys that used to crank out books on time constantly weren't drawing as much stuff as they're drawing now. And then that's, you know, there's debate on that, but whatever. I'm not saying I agree with that, I'm just saying. And, like, Infinite Crisis was late, you know, and even with fill-in art, it was still late, and then everybody complained about how crappy the art was, and so... And I've said many times that I'm more of an art guy, so I would much rather wait as long as it takes for 7 solid issues of McNiven Hollowell and love every second of it in a month. I mean, that's nothing. I mean, a big stinking deal. We're not talking 6 months here, like or a year, like Spider-Man Black Cat, or 2 years, or whatever the hell that was. We're talking 1 month. I mean, I don't even usually know when books are late, because I'm not checking the schedule every week, dying for these new books. If a little time goes by and I go, did the new issue of something come out? Because I really wish I was reading that, but I don't really know if it's a week or 2 weeks or even 3 weeks late. I might not even know, especially getting my books mail order now. I mean, I don't have any idea. But even when I was buying them at the comic store, I just went and I looked on the shelf. If it wasn't there, I didn't buy it. And I came back next week, checked if it was there. If it wasn't, I didn't buy it. I mean, it really is not... I know maybe for retailers it's a different question, but as a reader, it's like a totally non-issue. They announced it. Instead of just saying, it'll be out next week, it'll be out next week, it'll be out next week, they actually announced it. They rescheduled everything. Said, there you go. And I go, okay, that's fine. Do I want to read it? Sure. Do I wish it was on time? Sure. Do I wish every comic could always be on time? That'd be awesome. But it's not. They told me, okay, I got enough other crap to read. I got a stack of trades a mile high. I'm not hurting for reading material. In fact, it's kind of a gift. I get a little break. I don't know. I really was surprised when everything was like all of a sudden these threads. I mean, sure, there'd be some people that complain, but to be like, the whole crisis of the internet, everyone was, you know, going batty and ready to go, you know, hang people. It's like, I don't even understand what the hubbub is about. It's just the book's going to be late. Deal with it.
Do you think it's the people speaking up because this is a problem that's been going on for a while, and now this is the biggest problem when it comes to delayed books? So it's sort of
I guess the frustration coming out. But you think about some of the other books that have been late, like Superman Batman.
Superman Batman doesn't affect the entire line, though.
Yeah, but I still don't see how it's really any different. I mean, I don't know. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I mean, I see it from different vantage points. I can see where everybody's coming from. And everybody does have a valid point when they come and express their opinion about it. I do see the retailer side of the story. I do see the reader's side of the story. And and I should say both readers' side of the story. Both, you know, because some people really don't care. Some people are really offended by it. I also see how it affects the other titles. So, again, you're not pushing back one book. You're pushing back multiple books. So on a retailer's aspect of it, yes, it does affect them greatly. I mean, that's a third of Marvel titles. I don't know what the ratio is, but that's a good amount of books that's being pushed back a month. And then from September to November is a two-month stretch. So that means those books that were planning on coming out in September will now come out in November. So it really does affect it. For myself, I'm like Brian, I can't understand why this has turned into such a huge thing. I was thinking the same along lines with Peter, that is this just a culmination now that we've talked about lateness in books and the tolerance of that for as long as we've been doing the show. And we've all expressed our opinions, whether we dislike or like that, or are willing to accept it or not. So I don't know. I can't get my fingers on the pulse as to why this has become such a huge, huge boil of mess, of plethora of all kinds of crap. Because it just doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't. I can't culminate everything that has transpired since that announcement has. And to me, I don't even get the announcements. To me, there's nothing there that's following the path. I don't get the feeling that even what is being told is 100% truth. So it's kind of like I don't even feel that that's even correct. So what everybody is reacting to may not even be the case. You know, granted, that's what the information they're being provided. However, and like I said, I have tons of stuff to read. I have more than a backlog of stuff to read. I can find myself and keep myself busy. I love the book for being a Marvel fan for all these years, and to see something like this come to fruition, I'm loving every minute of it. Yes, I'm disappointed that it is being delayed. Yes, I am disappointed that it's pushing other books back as well.
Sure. I mean, I'm dying to read it. But
exactly.
But so, I think about like a year ago, a year and a half ago, when we started this thing, we were talking about one of our complaints about Marvel was they didn't pay enough attention to continuity. So now they're writing the ultimate continuity story. Everything that's happening is massively connected and has huge ramifications with almost the entire universe, which is why so many books are connected to this crossover. So we got what we wanted. There's a delay for whatever reason. So because we wanted continuity, now we have to deal with the ramifications of that, which is if one book's going to be late, they all have to be late because you can't read one before you read the other.
Right.
Otherwise, they spoil the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So we got what we wanted, and now means we have to wait for not one book, but 10 books. You know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Like, how can you have, you can't have it both ways. So this is the problem. I mean,
It's a very difficult situation in the essence that I know... Infinite Crisis was delayed and such, but then I look what DC's doing with 52, and that's coming out on time. So I mean, you know, so there's it shows it can be done. I don't understand. You know, you're doing a 7-issue miniseries. I don't know how much lead time you need for that for everybody involved, because I don't know. Like I said, there's a bad taste in my mouth that McNiven's being taken the fall guy for this, and to me, it just doesn't add up to me. So I feel bad for him because. I, for some reason, I just don't feel he's at fault. I don't know. But it's just something that I felt maybe And that's what I think a lot of people are upset about, is that it could have been put together and more efficiently. But I guess also when you're trying to coordinate it with so many other titles, it does make it kind of an editor's nightmare as well. So, I don't know. I can't grasp what everybody's saying, but yet I can still see where everybody's coming from, and some people that are really upset about it. And like I said, I especially understand the retailer's aspect of it. Rubs me the wrong way when I hear that comment by Brevoort saying you're looking at short-term thinking, you're not looking at long-term thinking. Yes, I understand that the book is selling close to 400,000 copies, so the retailers are making money off the title and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But now it's not consistent, you know what I mean? So they're being pushed back. So that means that's X amount of dollars that they now have to wait another month for. And then again, you have a two-month wait, you know, for that. So they are having kind of a deficit for themselves. So I can understand that aspect of it. I don't know what the solution is. I can't say.
But I'm sure Jamie will chime in here from a Golden Eagle point of view. But I think back to, especially when I was buying comics off the shelf, if I walked in one week and I only had, you know, two books, I didn't leave with two books. I left with five or six books anyway. Right. I took that. I was like, yes, a low week. I can buy some of this other stuff I want to buy.
Right.
So is a retailer really taking a hit? I don't know. I mean, retailers can answer that, but as a shopper, a low week meant I could buy more stuff that I didn't get to buy in the
other
weeks.
Been many a time where books have even been solicited and then also been put on the shipping list, and it didn't show up anyway. So, I mean, even if you are a close watcher to that information, there's times you'll walk into the store and go, oh, well, that didn't ship anyway, you know, and then maybe it's a week or two late or whatever it is.
What about the titles since you pre-order, Brian? What about all those titles that aren't going to ship this month? And, you know, you've mentioned in previews, in episodes when we do previews, and you say, I had to drop some things because I can't buy it all. So now all that money is now shifted. Like, imagine if that was, if you were told ahead of time that these books are not going to, you're not going to have them, your money could have been shifted to things that you wouldn't have to have dropped things.
Yeah, maybe. I think the online thing is different, though, because I'm still spending X number of dollars a month. Like, when I was buying weekly, I wasn't really paying attention to how much I was spending. You know, I didn't necessarily have a weekly budget, as long as it wasn't extravagant. But because I'm looking at it now monthly, I'm really budgeting. So I think it's kind of apples and oranges. I guess there are people who say, I can't leave this store with more than $20, you know. But then I think what if I did ever try to do that at the store, what would happen is then I would put some stuff back in my slot to hold till next week, and I would pick it up when I could until there was another low week, and then I would make up for that backlog that showed up. But when if my box was empty and I had a low week, I bought more books. But if my box was full and I could only spend $20, I kept stuff in the box until next week, and then until the week after that, and the week after that, until I had another low week. And it balanced out.
I'll be honest with you. If anything, and I'm in the same, you know, we all go through DCBS. If anything, we're out the money. DCBS has already charged my credit card for all these books that I have ordered. My Civil War number 4 has already been paid for. Civil War number 5 has already been paid for. All the crossovers have already been paid for by me. So if anybody should be really pissed, my money has already been spent. I honestly don't understand the retailers, because the retailers who are really complaining are the retailers who are just treading water. Because I know you don't pay for your books until the week that they ship. So you have to pay, the week that they ship, if you get hammered with a little bit of a heavier one, you know, a heavier week, you might not have all of the money right then. But, you know, Diamond isn't going to, you know, pull the plug on you. They're going to let you get the money to them. So, you know, any retailers that's telling me, you know, I hear, oh, we're going to close Sundays because of this. Bullshit. They were going to close Sundays anyway. This is just their way of making an excuse, pissing off their, you know, blaming, taking their lack of business and throwing it on to another person so you can say, oh, well, Marvel made them close on Sundays. No, they didn't. They were looking for ways to cut money and cut overhead, and that was what they did. I'm just using an example that was used on the forum. As far as I'm concerned with this, this is a tempest in a teacup. It is absolutely much ado about nothing. It's always going to be the way it is. Should it be that way? No, it shouldn't be that way. I'm pissed. I love this series, but it's not anything that I am so pissed that I'm not going to read it. It bothers me that they didn't give it enough leeway. I mean,
I guess we should say before that the press release was released Tuesday before it was
supposed
to be shipped.
Supposed to ship, yeah.
And it had already in the retailers, that some of them did get it a week early, but they had also gotten another thing like a week or so even before that to say that it was moved to a certain time too. So.
Oh yeah, they get every week they get a listing of what's been moved, and you know, and those are always whenever they move them, those are always tentative. But you know, like I said, it's not anything I'm happy about. It's not anything I'm saying yay, but then again, I am saying yay because we're gonna get the original team. We're gonna get the team that we wanted. If I don't like the story, I can't complain that it was the artwork like I could with, you know, the end of Infinite Crisis. So, you know, all in all, I'm disappointed more than anything. It's more I'm disappointed that this is still happening. But I also give Marvel credit for pulling, you know, doing what they did and realizing, you know, they kept trying to make it work. And I know some of our, you know, behind the scenes stuff, I'm not going to say much about it, but we knew a lot of this stuff was happening. We knew we had an idea on some of this stuff that was going on. We knew that there probably wasn't going to be a Civil War issue on, you know, in October. Mm-hmm. You know, we had known that for a little while. So a lot of this is, you know, just finally coming to fruition. Now, whether or not what we hear from Mark Miller, what we hear from Steve McNiven, you know, interestingly enough, we don't hear one peep from Joe Quesada. He hasn't said one word about this, which I find very interesting, in actually a kind of disturbing way, because you would think he should be the one rather than Tom Brevoort to go out there and take on the the naysayers and be the front guy, which, you know, even he should do that because of being the editor. His job to make sure he has enough time and so on and so forth.
Well, let's not interrupt, but let's go into it. We have Bo Smith on the phone. How you doing?
I'm right here.
How you doing?
Doing good.
So you have the unique position of being a creator on the inside. What's your take on this?
On the whole Marvel Civil War delay?
Correct.
Okay, because y'all have just kind of thrown me in here in the middle. I don't even know who's here yet. So
in the room is Brian, Kevin, Jamie, and Peter, and we laid out to our listeners the announcements, and we gave our thoughts around on the whole situation.
Well, I mean, business-wise, not even getting into it creatively yet, but business-wise, first of all, the people that are going to get hurt most and are the retailers, the direct market retailers. I mean, this is not, you know, something as a publisher that you want to happen. Generally, if you've got a very good editorial staff and management above that editorial staff, that will make sure that not only from just traffic and stuff, but for planning ahead. If you've got a good route of that in place, then generally this stuff isn't going to happen. And when it does happen, because, you know, as in life, anything can happen. It all hits the fan sooner or later. But you're able to, you have an access plan that you can go into in case of emergency. I mean, everybody in publishing should have. I mean, the places I've worked at, 9 times out of 10 on the marketing end, we've always tried to have that, and we've always worked real close with editorial, and things do happen, I mean, creatively. So the direct market retailers are going to be hurt the worst by this, but better now than at the beginning of it, because if this would have happened at the beginning, then no steam would have been built up. The retailers probably would have let it lie in the water. Oh, yeah, there would have been a lot of complaining and stuff, but at the same time, they would not have probably been out as much money. That's where Marvel's really going to have to work hard, is taking care of the direct market retailers on this. The readers, right now, they're in the middle of this. They're going to go with it. They're not going to like the delay, but more than likely, the bulk of them are still going to pick it up, you know, when it does come out and as it does come out. But the retailers are going to lose a lot of money of this, and I'm not going to say it's going to be interesting to see how Marvel's editorial and marketing department handle, you know, what's the cute word, spin, this, that, and the other, but they should definitely be talking to the retailers now and dealing with them more so than, to be honest with you, than the media, because this isn't one of those things where, you know, it should be decided in the media or even so much with the fans, because that's just not going to happen. They need to take care of the retailers between them. Then everybody else will get taken, you know, taken care of from there. That make any sense to you, boys?
Definitely.
Yep.
And what about, you said, what about the creative side of this? Do you think that we're seeing this as a sign that the monthly format needs to be shifted, changed, either to 6 weeks, bi-monthly, on down the road? What have comics coming out as a monthly magazine? Is that starting to fade away?
No, and it shouldn't. I mean, that's what comic books are. They are periodicals. They are to be out monthly. That's not the problem. I mean, I'll just look at it creatively. Going back when I was doing it, my 2-year run on Guy Gardner Warrior, at the same time my full-time job was doing all the marketing for Todd McFarlane and McFarlane Toys. Okay, and that's definitely more than 40 hours a week. I was writing Guy Gardner, you know, an issue every month at the time. I was also doing two miniseries and a couple of one-shots, all during the same time, month after month. And trust me, guys, you know, I'm no brain surgeon, but, you know, I pulled that off, didn't miss any deadlines, not a problem. And at DC, we were going through, you know, a crossover and an event a week. So I was constantly having to coordinate that with everyone else. But at the time, Guy Gardner Warrior was, you know, very popular at that point. So, you know, everyone was borrowing him. He was in every other book. And like I said, we had all those different crossovers going. So my feelings on that creatively, if I can do it, anybody can. And I know a lot of artists, and it's always been a point, well, do you want it on time or do you want it good? Well, you want it both, and it should be both. To be honest with you, unless there is some sort of family emergency, death, illness, that sort of thing, there's no excuse for not having a 22-page comic book out every month. Now, from what, again, this is just on an insider thing, from what I've heard, it starts at the scripts. The scripts should never be late, but I've heard the scripts on some books, you know, Marvel, DC, where they really, you know, do a lot of monthly books, have a lot of them been late. Unless somebody's log jamming you up, management, editorial, or whatever, there's no need for a script to be late. I don't care if you're writing 6 books a month. It's, you know, nah. You sign up for the job, you do it.
Well, that's an argument that goes around a lot. You know, you sign up for the job, you do it, and one side of it is that readers are demanding more of their from their comics, so that's why it takes longer for some artists to draw to produce a book.
By demanding more, what do you mean?
This isn't my own argument. I'm using words that I see on the forum.
Right? Yeah. No. That's what I was asked.
Right. But that compared to books like, say, even in the 80s, or even when Jack Kirby and Stan Lee were putting out books, they say the quality of comics has gotten better, that readers, they sort of seem to suggest that you can't have both because artwork is more sophisticated nowadays.
Well, you know, that is just like styles with clothes. You know, it's 10 years from now, you know, it'll be exactly, we'll be saying something different. Just yesterday, I was looking at the Daredevil Essentials, the ones that Gene Colan had done. And, you know, I'll argue with anybody on the planet. You put that up against, and this is, I'm not being derogatory towards anyone's work, but you put that up against McNiven's, and I would say it's on equal base as far as, you know, hey, they're both hard to do, they're both top quality work, but, you know, Colan did it, so he should be able to do it. I'm not saying he's being late, don't get me wrong. I just use it. Look at George Perez, look at Phil Jimenez, guys that add so much detail, that's so much work, but I've worked with Phil. And when I gave him a page with 9 panels and 50 characters in each, he was always coming back to me going, hey, Bo, you mind if I put 3 more of these people in? You know, it can be done. There's, again, writers, artists, I got no problem. They should be able to do it. If they can't, then, you know, if you're on a monthly book, then it needs to be somebody else that can. And I don't believe comic books are any more sophisticated or less sophisticated than they are. It's a lot of it comes down to work ethic and ability to manage your time. And that goes editorially, that goes management-wise, as well as creatively. You've got to be able to do both. Just because a comic book today has a lot of words in it does not make it a good comic. I've preached this for a long time. The craft of comic book, creatively, the craft of doing a comic book is words and pictures. And a lot of the current undertones are, you know, you have to have a lot of blocks of text. You have to have a lot of word balloons. You have to have a lot of people talking all the time. You don't. That's not what comics are. That's a screenplay. That's a novel. That's TV. And too many people are trying to make comic books into what they see in the movies and television, and it's a whole different art form. So I think that's where we're getting a lot of confusion. Like when you said, when readers are demanding more substance, I don't think that's the right phrase. I really don't.
Well, Bo, thank you so much for your thoughts.
For coming in and being angry?
Isn't that what you're good at?
Well, I'm not angry. It's just a lot of times people try to make something harder than it really is. And I'm not putting comics in a, oh, they're easy to do. No, there's a craft to it. They've just got to learn to do that instead of trying to change it into something else.
Well, one of the reasons why I emailed you is because you're always open and honest, and I thought, well, you know what? If we're going to get an insider, you know, let's call Bo.
Let the hate mail begin.
Well, thank you so much.
All right, guys.
Have a good night.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
I mean, it basically reflects a lot what we talked about when we talk about lateness of books and whatnot, you know, that we always felt that it's a job. Mm-hmm. You know, you take on the job, you do it.
Yeah, definitely. There's, you know...
I mean, and it, no,
it,
I don't,
it hasn't changed from when, like you said, when Gene Colan was doing a monthly book to a monthly book now.
Right.
And
that's what Brevoort said in that interview. I read that interview that he talked about, and he was like, oh, well, if they had a problem, you got a fill-in issue, you know, or a reprint or something like that. And I'm not saying that never happened. However, it was very few and far between. It was an anomaly. Whereas this is very frequent nowadays. We're running into this a lot. And again,
creators on are artists or writers on a book, and either they're late or like they're on for two or three issues, and boom, fill an artist after two issues.
Yeah. So, I mean, you start building momentum, and next thing you know, boom, you got, you know, you're hitting a speed bump, and or the book is late or whatever, you know, and it's just, it's hard to comprehend. And I hate the argument like, oh, well, it's worth the wait. You know, to me, that's just, you're being excusable, you know, for what they're doing. You're and then you're enabling them to think, well, if I'm late on this month, well, so what? What if I'm late later on? You know, so you're just enabling it, and you're continuing it to just, you know,
cycle.
build and build, which, and then it's maybe culminating into something like this, which, you know, I agree is getting blown way out of proportion. But maybe that's a factor. This is what factors have brought it to make this is what it is.
To continue our look from different areas of this, we brought on David D., Popular Forum member. How you doing, David?
Good, thanks. How are you guys doing?
Good. David's in New York, and he's on the set of... What are you on the set again?
Law & Order Criminal Intent, doing a night of glamorous background work, which is a lot of sitting around, but that's perfect on the same day that your DCBS box arrives, so that worked out pretty well.
Yes.
Excellent.
And we didn't pay you for that. So, David, your thoughts on the Civil War delay announcement.
Sure. Well, I feel like in some ways Marvel, to use the old expression, has kind of hoisted itself by its own petard, insofar as I think people wouldn't be so angry if they weren't so excited about the event. I mean, the way I thought about it, it's a drag, sure, and of course I'm sympathetic to the retailers whose sales will be delayed, but I do feel like at the end of the day, isn't this better than if it was just a mediocre summer event, or if they didn't have an event at all to sell? You know, it's like I try to think back to when I was a kid, if you were suddenly told that, you know, Atlantis Attacks was going to be 2 months late, it would be like, oh, all right. You know what I mean? So it feels like people are getting so upset because they're so hooked in and they're so excited and they're so signed up. And ultimately, I feel like when the numbers get crunched, this is going to do more for the retailers and I think more for the readers than the problem will end up being. You know what I mean?
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, and I also, a thing that's been interesting to watch, and it's a thing that, as I'm sure some people that are on the forum have seen me sort of trying to fight against, is I feel like they're, and, you know, some people have their personal reasons, and that's fine, and that is valid, and some people have a personal involvement. But when things like this happen, I think it's a reminder that we're really passionate about this part of our entertainment, but with that sometimes comes what I feel is a sense of entitlement that we don't bring to other things we consume. You know, that we, that, you know, because of the internet and because we now have more of an ability to sort of see how the sausage is made, we kind of, you know, we call for blaming individuals by name, or we want to, you know, we demand to know exactly whose fault it was, or, you know, things like that. We want somebody to make public statements and public apologies. And it's just funny because people don't really do this with, like, you know, the people that they get their gas from, you know, or that they pay their electric bill to, or to any of the big corporations who are actually, you know, should probably be accountable for, you know, real damage. I feel like sometimes we need to kind of check quite how upset some of us are becoming by this.
I think that's a really good point.
That's, yeah, that's, well, that's why
you have a sense of perspective on it, I think.
Well, that's why, you know, fan comes from fanatics, so.
Sure, certainly. You know, and again, I mean, I think that at the end of the day, it's a good sign that we care this much. You know, it's like, I 10 years ago, the way comics were at, I can't think of anything I would have really been bothered to wait for. You know, so it's like, I think that it's probably a good sign that, that, you know, it's a passionate time and it's an exciting event.
What are you going to read in the interim?
Oh, it's a good question. I recently got the first hardcover of Powers, so I'm going to catch up on that a little bit. I've been loving Wasteland. There's a lot of great indie stuff. I've got Phonogram that just came in the box, so looking forward to that. And yeah, I mean, I think that the one of the things that people have been saying, and I think it's a great response, is, you know, go to your local shop and dig around for some stuff that you have been putting off. You know, like if it does free up some extra money or some extra reading time, you know, go dig around for, I know that there's a lot of Oni original graphic novels. There's just a couple of new writers I've been turned on to that I'd love to go and check out. So, you know, maybe I will do that.
Come on, Peter. You know he's just going to take all that extra time and study 52 even deeper.
Hey, that's, I think that's a great idea, too. I've been actually meaning to go back and sort of reread to catch up on what things and clues and stuff I've missed on 52. So that's another thing, I think, especially with those first five issues free online right now. This is a great chance for people who have put off 52 to give it a try as well.
Cool, David. Well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time because I know you're on a strict timing thing there.
Oh, very. I tell you, my role in the squad room of Criminal Intent is very important. There's the detectives that are solving the crimes, and there's usually me who are walking pieces of paper around the squad room in the background. So none of the criminals will be. Every time I look for myself on TV, I think, oh, that's me on the phone pretending to solve crimes, and I look at myself, and it's like, yeah, that's a guy ordering lunch. So I try to be impressive. The prop guy never gives me a badge. Takes a look at me and goes, yeah, he's sort of the guy that makes the photocopies that solves the crimes. So yeah, I'm going to get back to the very important. Very important work of that.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being able to come on the show and give a little insight into the listener and reader side of things.
Hey, thanks for including me. I look forward to hearing the rest of the discussion.
See ya.
Excellent. Yep. Thanks, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Why don't we play the interview with Heidi McDonald? I had the pleasure of talking with Heidi McDonald from The Beat, and it's about 11 minutes long, so stay with us. Okay, with me is Heidi McDonald of The Beat, noted journalist of The Beat, which you can find at pwbeat.publishersweekly.com/blog, the news blog of comics culture. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Great. And so let's get your view of the whole situation first off.
Well, it's really, I called it on The Beat a perfect storm, and it really is. It's almost as if all of the elements that have been, you know, swirling around the direct sales market have kind of come together in one, you know, titanic event, you know, and it is so ironic that the whole Civil War tag has been, you know, which side are you on, because it really does seem to have divided everybody into, you know, segments of, you know, those who want it Wednesday, those who want it good, and, you know, retailers versus publishers.
Right.
And so on. There's so many different aspects to it. And, I mean, I can't even say that I'm even really on one side, you know. This situation is pretty much created by the need in the direct sales market to have these huge events that cross over. You know, it's not like you can just have a comic book like Spider-Man or Batman, which people go in and read every month. It's more like you have to have that, you know, Batman crossing over the entire Batman family, or Spider-Man crossing over the entire Spider-Man family, or Infinite Crisis creating all the characters getting into one big conflagration. And, you know, with Civil War, it's involved the entire Marvel Universe, and you have one little stumble, and the entire line is affected. You know, this is kind of what readers have come to expect. They don't just want... They want one top-level event comic, as the actual Civil War limited series is, but then they want it to have all these repercussions. You know, it's not for... Right. It really does prove that the, you know, the casual reader model is so not driving the business now, but when everything depends on one little thing, for want of a nail.
Yep. Yep. You know, you said it creates... This kind of event creates the need. Do you think... not only reader expectations, but also from the retailer as well. You know, they certainly are benefiting from this event and all the tie-ins and increased sales.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So there's not that I'm looking to say, you know, where does the blame fall for any of this? But do you think, are we going to learn from this?
Well, that's a great question. Okay. It's not as if this is the first Marvel comic to be late, you know.
Right.
They're late. I mean, you know, House of M had dealt significant delays as well. Yet Marvel is the number one publisher month after month after month. And I mean, I really do feel a great deal for the retailers in this situation. Civil War has been a huge hit for them. It's making them a lot of money. It's making everybody a lot of money. It's a big success. And now they are... You know, what's important to understand is that they are losing this income. And because of all the tie-ins, you know, the issues are not going to come out. So it's not like, you know, they are just being delayed. They're actually losing product that they would have otherwise carried. But I don't know if they've learned anything, you know? I mean,
right.
The answer, the only thing Marvel, I mean, I don't really fault Marvel either. I mean, I don't know what the specifics. I'm not privy to the inside workings of why this decision was made, or, you know, from that standpoint. But you know, the only way to speak is with your pocketbook. You know, I
right.
mean, honestly, if retailers really are mad about this, they should not support Marvel Comics.
One of the things, as the announcements came out, we got the Marvel announcement, followed by an unofficial response from Mark Miller that was posted all over, and
right.
then a few other responses from Brian Hitch and Steve McNiven before Tom Brevoort actually did his own little interview.
Right.
And one of the things that seemed to happen in a lot of... It was a lot of buck passing, it seemed, whether it was intentional or not. You know, Mark Miller said it was art delays, and then Tom Brevoort said it was both Mark Miller. And so you never knew where... And I guess we didn't need to know a specific answer, but with all of that happening, does this put does this cast a little bit of a shadow with future hypes? And in fact, in just in my email today, I got a press release about the tie-ins and that they were going to send a checklist out to retailers on September 13th.
Right.
What does this do, especially in terms of news agencies, news sites? What does this do in terms of Marvel's credibility?
Well, again, it's not the first time this has happened. You know, it's happened over and over again. You know, and
has it happened on this scale?
No, this is, you know, it's almost like we've had a careering snowball. Like I said, of all the elements that are going into, you know, what's fueling the success of the
right.
direct sales market right now. I mean, the direct sales market is having bigger years. The last 2 months were two of the biggest months. You know, in the history of the direct sales market, with 52 coming out and you know, Civil War and all the tie-ins and all the new books launching from DC, it's been a huge, huge month for those for the direct sales market. But it's like, you know, hey, Marvel books ship late. That's and you know, DC is having so many problems now too with delays of Wonder Woman, JLA number one. You know, there's a lot of late books coming out. And I think, you know, Tom Brevoort, there's a lot of people who didn't like what he had to say. And, you know, retailers are very upset about what he had to say. And, you know, I'm not going to, I can't analyze it. You know, my livelihood doesn't come from running a comic shop.
Right.
So,
and we'll be talking to, I have a bunch of retailer
right.
responses.
Well, you know, you need to get the retail. But
definitely.
You know, Tom's saying from his standpoint that what this is doing is pointing towards the future of the direct sales market in a way where graphic novels are more important. You know, that's something everybody really needs to think about. And I've been amazed, honestly, even on the beat, the comments where people like, you know what, we'll wait. It's a good story. We'll wait. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, if I'm a retailer, I shouldn't feel stung by right. losing that income. But the bottom line is people, the readership really seems to be used to or accepting of the fact that it doesn't always come out on Wednesday. You know, I think, you know, people like to complain out there, but you really need to, you know, strip away the complaints and say, how is this really going to affect sales on it? And I honestly don't think it's going to have as great effect on sales as you would think.
Right. One of the things from those posting the loudest, I guess I could say, is some of it does seem like it's that final bit of frustration coming out. And I think once we get past this week, it'll be interesting to see, you know, the momentum of the series, what the effect is on retailers, and really that's the end point, is it's the retailer.
Right. They're the end user of the direct sales market as it stands now. You know, I mean, I think the big question that this really raises is, where will the huge event go? You mm-hmm. know, I mean, DC has spent the last couple of years with this whole build-up to Infinite Crisis in 52. I mean, you know, parts of 52 were done a year ago. I mean, they've been working, you know, DC plans their, you know, D-Day invasion very, very thoroughly.
Right.
But the resources, you know, again, I'm not privy to the inside workings of what goes on at DC, but just as from an observer standpoint, it's like the resources that go into this are enormous, you know? I mean, you can see that with just, you know, reading interviews. And same thing with Marvel, the resources of the company that are, you know, the man hours and the personnel. I mean, so what's going on? The amount of time and energy that is being spent on these crossovers is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the payoff, yes, it is huge, but where do you go from here?
Right.
Where do you go? I mean, there's only so many times that you can change everything forever before it becomes, you know, an episode of Tom Goes to the Mayor. You know?
I guess one thing probably everybody can agree on is bad press is better than no press at all.
Well, that's absolutely true, you know, but a lot of people don't believe that. But, you know, as Oscar Wilde says, better, the only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about at all.
Yeah. And how badly is Wizard pounding at the walls right now that their magazine isn't weekly?
Well, you know, that's another new paradigm, you know. I mean, that's part of the whole, you know, sociological implications of all this is that, you know, we're living in a TiVo society and where everything's available all at once. And, you know, things that are serial in nature are actually, you know, the nature of what's serial is very much changing.
Mm-hmm.
It's changing for TV, it's changed for comic books, it's changed for a lot of things.
And it's definitely a look into Marvel's practices, where you can sort of see, I guess you could say, all the publishers are looking beyond being a periodical magazine company and going into licensing and going into the book market
right.
as well.
Well, you know, if you can make more money doing other things, why shouldn't you do that?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not like they're suddenly becoming, you know, fertilizer manufacturers, you know. I mean, that would be a very different business. But going from periodicals to book publishing is, you know, very similar, and, you know, is a good fit. I mean, you have to be or integrated, you know, on what is it? I'm not very good at buzzwords, believe me.
Right.
But you must integrate into all facets of the channel.
There you go. Are you actually reading Civil War?
I haven't, to be honest. I mean, I have a huge stack. You know, most of my work, my actual work, entails reading graphic novels, and so I am a wait for the trader. You know, in every way, shape, and form. You know, with a trade, I can just pop it into my satchel and take it to the beach or on a train or a bus or wherever. And you know, I've heard good things about it. I'm actually very curious. You know, if all of this has probably gotten a new reader for Civil War in Heidi McDonald. I think I'm going to go to the shop after work and pick up a couple copies.
Well, there you go. And I thank you so much for joining us
My
today.
My pleasure.
And like I said, you can find her column, The Beat, at pwbeat.publishersweekly.com/blog. And thank you so much, and I look forward to talking to you again.
All right. Take care, man.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Thanks again to Heidi for joining the show and giving she's been a comics journalist for many, many years, so thought it'd be an interesting view to take a look at the situation.
You know, she made me think of a few points, and the one is, you know, she's talking about how these comics have been selling incredibly large quantities.
Yes.
And we talk about the hit to the retailer in the temporary, but you go, well, the last 3 months they made three times as much as they made those same months last year. So shouldn't they have a little extra that should hold them over for the 1 month that there's no Civil War issue?
Well, and the thing is, you hear this about the retailer taking the hit, and I'm thinking like, well, they're still going to make the income.
Right.
It's just that it's pushed back in the month. You know what I mean? So it's like you're still going to make the dollars because you're still getting 7 issues of Civil War just because it's not ending by December and it's ending by possibly January, beginning of February. You're still going to reap the rewards from the series.
But
so,
it's not like they don't keep all that money. I mean, that money has to be used to pay for the books that were that they
but
just
like
received.
Jamie says, you only pay for the books you get. So if you
that's what I'm talking
if you're
about.
Missing 10 books from Marvel, it means you didn't pay for 10 books from Marvel, which means you don't have to sell as much that week to cover the same cost, right?
See, I don't see it as being a problem with material. I see it being with a problem with profit. The only thing I can see them bitching about is that, okay, they're not going to make as much profit this month as they did, previously or something. But you'll make it next month when that issue comes out.
But what if something happens in between? I mean, I know this is all conjecture,
Sure.
If something happens in between, I mean, if you budget and you budget Civil War into your budget and you get the profits of that, and then you go, okay, that means that now I'm paying for. If the third month I have to pay for the books that ship the second month, now I know, okay, I have this much to spend for the next month. Oh, because I have this money coming into it. Oh, that money's not coming. It's not all cut and dry with the retailers either. I have tons of responses here, and it goes both ways.
I just think it's part of being in the industry, because there are a lot of other industries that are the same way. Look at the movie theater industry. I can speak from experience there. Theater owners take a shot by deciding to become a theater owner. And when big summer blockbusters are slated and everyone goes, oh, okay, we're going to make all this money on Mission Impossible 3. It's going to be a huge success and we're going to get multiple prints and we're going to overstaff the night that it opens and we're going to, get all this promotional material because we're going to make a boatload of money on Mission Impossible 3. It comes and goes in 2 weeks and the theater owners go, crap, we didn't make any money. Now what are we going to do for the rest of the summer? Like Godzilla, when that came out, they had it on 5 out of 8 screens at the local theater here. 5 out of 8. It did nothing. They were like, oh no, we could have booked all these other movies, but instead we chose to book multiple screens of Godzilla. That's part of the business. You take a risk by being in a business. Any business owner is taking a risk, no matter what business it is. And in the comic business, that sometimes some books are not going to ship when they're supposed to, and you might take a cash flow hit. So if you're a good businessman, you'll always keep a buffer so that you don't, have to close your doors because 1 week or 2 weeks you didn't have as many popular books.
To me, it's diversity, and that's what Lem has preached forever, and what at first I didn't really understand, but then as I got into the workings of the store, I totally understood. It's how diversified are you as a store is what's going to keep you afloat. If you are a store that is living from week to week on your comics, yeah, this is going to hurt like hell because you are not going to get what you were normally going to get. But if you are a store like Old Eagle who has comics is maybe a third of what they're selling, then they're selling the toys, and they're selling the graphic novels, and they're selling, not graphic novels, I meant to say sports cards, and they're selling role-playing games, and they're selling a little manga, and they're selling the collectible card games. Everything comes together and makes that store a success, and to me, those stores won't be hurt as much as that store that is comics, Marvel, DC, maybe a little bit in independent comics, and that's it. Those are the ones that, yes, I will see that those are gonna get hammered. Those are the ones that they're gonna hurt for a couple months. But again, like I keep saying, it's not like I'll go back to me and DCBS. My money is already gone. My money. DCBS has taken that, and they're using it to buy other products with. Whereas if I was really pissed off. And I would say, okay, I want my money back. I want to cancel that. They're going to also charge me a fee to restock that. They're going to charge me a fee to restock that. So I'll get my money back, but I won't get that much money back. So, I'm out more than my local retailer is out because he does not pay for that book until the week that book comes out, and he has till the next week to pay that, and then the next week he gets the thing, boom, then he has to pay that, and so on and so forth. So, like we were saying, hopefully these last couple months he hasn't taken all of that profit and stuck it places he wasn't going to stick. You know, maybe he has. Hopefully he'll have a little bit of a buffer where then when these come out, he'll be able to pay for them. And like I said, Diamond isn't going to, you know,
cut you off,
throw you to the wolves if you're a little bit late on a payment. And what I would actually really like to see is if Marvel would do for the retailers, maybe say, okay, what we're going to do is all these books that we've delayed, because your discount from Diamond is however much you order. If you order certain tier levels, you get a certain discount. If you're only ordering certain tier level, you get 40%. Another tier level, 45%. Another tier level, 50%. I think 55% is the highest that Diamond gives you. I could be wrong. I'm going back to my, you know, when I knew everything at Golden Eagle. And if Marvel, I think, was smart, they would say, okay, guys, what we're going to do, every book that was delayed, you're going to get it 50% off. We're going to give you that discount. No matter how many you ordered, no matter what you ordered, you're going to get it at 50% off. And give them that little buffer that if, you know, you're one of the smaller ones that can only order, and you're only making the 40% or the 60% markup, now you're going to get it less, and your markup is going to be even higher. So, I mean, I'm hoping maybe Marvel will do something like that. They haven't come out and said anything.
Especially on the new titles and the new tie-ins. It would be interesting if they would do that, because that's stuff that nobody was banking on. That's extra.
And I find one that's interesting because it must not have much to do with Civil War, but Heroes for Hire. That was a book that was coming out, had big Civil War banners all over it so far. Yet that's not one that was resolicited or pushed back.
We're going to move into the retailer side of things, and we're going to play a clip from Augie DeBleek over at comicbookresources.com, where he starts to touch on some of the financial things, and then we'll move on from there.
And Augie does the Pipeline podcast.
So let's take this from a different angle. Let's think about what's going on behind the scenes at Marvel right now, financially. I know, Marvel's a big, giant corporate entity that's run by Sony or somebody these days, is what you think, but your retailer is going to hurt more, possibly. They're still going to sell Civil War when it comes out. They're going to be able to adjust their orders, given that everything is more than 4 weeks late. Things will even out, the fans will still show up, and they will still buy it in droves, because it is the most important Marvel story of the past decade or more. So let's be realistic about that. The interesting thing to me right now, and I'll let all of you argue and piss and moan all you want at Quesada and Miller and McNiven and all the rest. The thing that's interesting to me is what's going on financially at Marvel, because right now they're pushing a lot of books back by a month or two in some cases. Some books are starting later than they had expected to be starting. Some books are just being delayed. They're finished. They're sitting, you know, on the dock waiting to go to the printer's computer to be pushed out and printed at Quebecore and distributed across the United States. There's a lot of work that's been finished that's just sitting there right now that Marvel has already paid for. The vouchers are filled. The artists, the colorist, the letterer, the writer, all of them have their money well in hand already. DC did a good job when Chuck Dixon was 12, 15, 24 issues ahead on every book of paying him, despite the fact he was so far ahead, knowing they wouldn't get any, you know, recompense for that until a year or two later. But he's a madman. Marvel right now has God only knows how many creators far ahead on the book. The question now is, what will they do about this? For example, Brian Bendis and Frank Cho's Mighty Avengers will not be starting as it was originally scheduled to start. I don't think they ever gave an exact month. They were planning to start it at any of the conventions this summer. But I'm fairly certain somewhere there's an Excel spreadsheet on Joe Quesada's desktop that explains which quarter that book is coming out. And right now, if it's still in that quarter, it's at the far end of that quarter. If it's not in that quarter, it's a whole nother one, and in the book publishing world, that's going to be crazy. What are they going to do about all this? Do they, A, let the creators continue on their current pace, get the monthly book done behind the scenes, let them use these 6 weeks as a buffer, get ahead on the books, or B, Does Marvel, needing to recoup its investment in all these books, start putting out a lot of series on a biweekly basis? Many of these books are going to be at least a month or two ahead of schedule by the time they start coming out again. Why not put out two issues in 1 month? Amazing Spider-Man, I'm sure, is going to be there. Punisher War Journal, which they've been working on for a few months now, is supposed to start in November, I believe. It's been pushed back to December or maybe even January at this point. All those things are in play. And the question for me, can Marvel take the hit financially on the money they laid out without getting it back right away? I'm sure they could, but the question is, how will they handle it afterwards? Will they do biweekly publishing to catch up in order to get the money back in the house, or will they indeed just delay all the books equally, have everything come out on a monthly schedule, and have some lead time that no doubt the writer and artists involved in all these books will squander over the course of the first 6 months? Theoretically, we shouldn't see any late Marvel books until next summer. Again, that's all theoretically. We'll see what actually happens. That's what I want you to think about right now about Civil War. Forget about the fact that you're going to have to wait 6 extra weeks to see the book. Yes, it's unfortunate. Yes, it's going to ruin some of the momentum. You know, there's nothing more we can do about it. These are people. And you know, over at DC right now, there's two schools of thought going on. The one might be happening underneath their breath. They might be snickering about how they're managing to keep all their trains on schedule while Marvel has now screwed one train up and it's reverberated. There's been a ripple effect all across the Marvel Universe. But I have a funny feeling in their writing layers, the likes of Mark Waid, Greg Rucka, Grant Morrison, and Geoff Johns are looking over at Marvel right now and thinking, there but for the grace of God go us. They miss one deadline, that book goes a week late, and DC is going to start having some scheduling problems also. Not quite to the extent that Marvel is, mind you, but 1 week becomes 2 weeks very easily, as we all know. And you want to build an extra buffer to get caught up to make sure it doesn't happen again. And some events happening in 52, from what I understand, because I don't read it all, do tie into the monthly books in some way or another. So, you know, it's all grist for the mill. It's fun to talk about, but, you know, just calm down. It's only comics. This gives you 6 weeks to catch up on a whole lot of other reading that no doubt is sitting on your bookshelf that you haven't had a chance to read. Me, last night, I popped open the Fantastic Four Volume 3 hardcover to read Mark Waid and Paco Medina and Mike Waringo's.
Thank you, Augie, for letting us play that clip where he touches in on to something that I hadn't seen being discussed elsewhere. So I thought that was an interesting look into
very much so. Yeah, I think that was very informative.
I certainly hope they do take that time to.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd
get the extra books out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be kind of on the fence. I don't know if they want them to double publish.
And try
to get it back on schedule.
I definitely don't want to double publish.
It'd be nice to take advantage of the time and really get things under their belt and have, you know, an armory just waiting to be put out there, so there's not this rush, and try to shovel everything out and keep it on schedule. This gives them time to buy time,
sure,
and to actually, you know, in the long run, will help them, you know, be more relaxed and be able to keep things more on schedule and such. So
yeah, and if anything like this happens again, it would they have that buffer to know that they already have, you know, three in the can. So let's get another artist to do this. And you know, we wouldn't have this, like I said, 10% of teacup.
What happens if all these books that they resolicited, if one, two, three more or something like that are late, if they don't show up on the day that they say they're going to show up?
So in other words, you're saying they have a resolicited schedule now, so everything's being
the schedule they gave us.
Right. You're saying now,
what happens if two or three or more of those issues are late?
I don't see how it could be, but. I mean, anything can happen,
anything
obviously.
Can happen.
Yes, obviously anything can happen.
I really think this all hinged on Civil War, the main title. I don't think this had anything to do with any of the other books, their schedules.
But if you're playing devil's advocate,
what he's saying, and I just don't think it's going to happen. I just don't. I think these are already in the can. These are already ready to go. And everything hinged upon Civil War. Now, if Civil War, if something happens again to Civil War, and for whatever reason, you know,
that's a different story.
You know, Steve McNiven breaks his hand, or you know.
I mean, that can easily be resolved as far as getting. You have to get another artist.
Sure. Then you have
a cut and dry decision to make.
You've done everything you could to keep the integrity, and if it happens again, then you got You've got to bite the bullet and just say, okay, and you got to get the best artist you can find to, you know, to fill in for that one issue.
But, I mean, I don't think, like you say, I don't think the reverberation between, say, Amazing Spider-Man and New Avengers and some other book happens to be late, but Civil War is still on mm-hmm. schedule. I don't think it has that much of a direct effect, because the information and things that are in that book that touch upon the story, like Civil War 5, and, you know, so if Civil War comes out, then that stuff is still being released after sure. the fact. And now if it starts to have things that lead into the next issue of mm-hmm. Civil War, well, then, of course, then there is an issue there. But I don't think there's that much of a direct effect mm-hmm. from any of these tie-in titles, so to speak, to, right. to that well, would really affect.
You know, I'll just...
Go ahead, wrap up real quick.
I just used what the titles are out there right now. Amazing Spider-Man, Avengers, which we found out from Mori, is something that takes place in Civil War number 4. It didn't cause me to lose any more enjoyment of them. I just realized that I'll get more of the story once I read Civil War number 4. Yeah.
On the phone is Brian Hibbs. Brian is author of the Tilting at Windmills column on Newsarama. He's also part of, excuse me as I get my notes, the Savage Critic website, comicexperience.com. He's one of the most outspoken retailers in the business, and I always look forward to his columns. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hello.
So, Brian, I'm going to quick read the ending of your post, which was posted, I believe, yesterday or Wednesday, just to see where you've come from this blog post. Let me just start at June sales chart says that $21.24 million of comics were in the top 300. Of that, Civil War number 2 was nearly 760,000 of that. What's that? About 3.5% of the month's total. Civil War is now on hold for a month, then another month after that, and that's more than 3% of the month's dollars just gone snap like that. It kills confidence in Marvel as a brand among consumers as the domino effect cascades across the whole line. You cannot do this with crossovers, all in capital letters, even if you have to replace George Perez with Ron Lim. These are the theories of who there are theories of whose fault this is. Maybe it is the artist, maybe it is the writer, and I say no. None of that matters. It is the publisher. Asshat of the week goes to Marvel Comics. What do you think?
Well, I think what I said, pretty much. You know, it's a lot of money that's going to be taken out of the market. Both from, you know, the direct effects of those books not shipping, and as well as the tie-ins, you know, The Amazing Spider-Man, The Fantastic Four, Avengers, skipping months. It's also going to, I believe, cause a number of consumers to, you know, stop buying the books. So while the numbers may stay high on the diamond charts, I believe the sell-through is going to be, you know, substantially less. Now, whether that's, you know, 5% or whether that's 30%, I couldn't tell you, but, you know, there's certainly any number of customers who have come to me and said, yeah, you know what, I'm not going to buy this anymore. So, you know, that's where we're at with that, pretty much.
Can I ask you, when people say that, you know, right now they're in the heat of the moment and they're all fired up and they say, I'm not buying it. But 4 weeks from now, when Civil War number 4 is sitting on the shelf and they're walking by and they're, like, looking at it going, Oh, man. Do you think they'll cave? I think probably at least 50% of the people who swear up and down they're not buying it, they're going to buy it.
Oh, sure.
I just think that, you know, and even might not be from your store because they might be embarrassed, but they might go to a different store and sneak it when no one's looking because they really can't stand to not buy it.
No, I don't doubt for a minute that there's any number of people who say one thing and do another, but that doesn't mean that there's still not a number of people who say one thing and actually do that. I think we also have a big problem, a big potential problem, at least, with what I'll call the lapsed reader. You know, people who really haven't been reading comic books, you know, over the last decade. You know, they used to be heavy readers, and they quit for one reason or another. And a lot of those people have come back for Civil War. And for those kind of customers, it's, you know, it's even more sort of imperative that the book's there when they're looking for it, because they're not the regular weekly readers. You know, we don't really particularly have to worry about the guys who come in every single Wednesday. The guys who come in every single Wednesday are going to buy whatever they're going to buy, and you know, lateness, not lateness, it doesn't affect them. But it's the guys who come in, you know, because they have the checklist for Civil War, and it's supposed to come out, you know, this month, and they come in and they're like, well, here I am, I want to give you some money, where is it? And you have to tell them, no, it's going to be another month. And you can see the look of disappointment on their face. And those are the customers, I think, that we most especially have to worry about, because they're not coming in every week. It's a special trip to go to the comic shop for them. It's kind of a big deal for them to haul their ass all the way over to a comic book shop. And if the product's not there when they want it, that's a sale that you've lost.
Brian, how big is your store? Nothing specific, but just so we can get an idea of what your store is sort of like.
What do you mean? Dollar-wise? I'm in the top, let's say, 20% of comic shops in the country.
Okay, that's good. Okay. Because one of the things that was brought up, I believe, on your blog, and somebody mentioned something about, you know, how much of your store is Marvel profits, and you said, well, it's 10, maybe, they quoted you a number, and you said, no way, it's like 10% of my business. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Jamie brought up, my one co-host, he said, a smart retailer doesn't put all his eggs in one basket, basically. They're not going to put they're not going to have their store dependent on just DC and Marvel. They're going to have their store, you know, whether it's trading cards, whether it's independents, graphic novels, trades, whatever. What does this do for their profit when we have this month and then another month later that they don't see this money coming into their store? Are they going to be able to find it elsewhere? Do they hold off on bills? Does it really matter?
Well, I mean, I think every dollar that comes out of our pocket that isn't a dollar because of a mistake that we made is significant. Are stores going to go out of business because of this? No, no one's going to go out of business because of this. But you know, it may mean that, you know, that this month you did 3% less business than you did last month because these books aren't there. Can a diversified store weather that? Oh, absolutely. But you know, the question becomes kind of a quintessential one of fairness. Is it fair for the retailers to have to pay the costs of a publisher who made a promise and then did not keep that promise?
You know, one of the things, if those of you who know, you have a response to that? You want to follow up with that?
No, I have a question for later on.
Okay. Those out there who know Brian Hibbs know that you were the head of a class action suit against Late Books when it came to Marvel.
Correct.
In Marvel. So what has changed? Is this sort of the same thing, or is this something completely different? What, along those lines, how do you compare the two things?
Well, I mean, in both cases, it's you know, very much a matter of you make a promise, you keep a promise. I mean, that's just the way that it is. You know, it's not like when it comes time to pay my bill every week that I get to, I get to go, you know what, I don't feel like paying you this week, I'll pay you next week. You know, that doesn't happen. If I were to not pay my bill one week, I wouldn't get comics anymore. Marvel decides not to ship comics, there's really nothing that we can do about it. And so any loss that comes there comes off the retailer's bottom line. The specifics of the class action suit and this are you know, fairly different things, particularly because we have the FOC, the final order cutoff system that Marvel has in place now. So we are able to lower our books, our pre-orders, and mitigate our risk to some degree there. But again, the open question is how many people are going to drop this book. I know that some people will. Again, is that 5%? Is that 30%? There's just no way to tell, unfortunately, from our side of things. We all hope it's only going to be 5%. But should I take a 5% loss on my sales just because Marvel can't keep their schedule properly? I mean, does that seem equitable to you? I suppose my question.
My next question for you is, what if there was no summer event at all? You know, is it better to have the highest selling comic of the decade and have it be late by 1 month, or just have a regular summer with no event and just normal sales on all the titles? As a retailer, do you make out on this despite the delays?
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, obviously, a big book like this is making us ultimately more money. But we're going to make less more money than we would have because of the delay. And remember, it's not just a one-month delay. There's a month coming up, and then there's another month that they're going to skip off. You know, and that's assuming that we actually believe that 6 and 7 are going to ship on the schedule that they promised, which I kind of don't believe. You know, I mean, they've got 6 and 7 shipping, you know, 4 weeks, 5 weeks after number 5 ships. I mean, given that there's already been a delay, I kind of don't see how they're going to make that, those later dates. I'd love to be proven wrong. Believe me, I would love if I was completely wrong about all of this. But, you know, I just, that's not what I see on my day-to-day business. You know, my sales charts, when books are late, we sell less copies. Did we order less copies? No, we didn't order less copies. We ended up selling less copies. And that is, you know, information that's basically invisible to the publishers, unfortunately. You know, you've got kind of greater issues here with the way that Marvel does business, in that our discount is determined by the rolling average of the last 12 months' worth of purchases that we make. So for stores that are on the cusp of going from let's say, a 53 to a 54% discount, skipping a month's worth of, or 2 months, actually, worth of Amazing Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, at least a month's worth of Avengers, I'm not really clear, because they only sort of posted part of the schedule there, pushing back the launches of Punisher War Journal, of Thor, of Mighty Avengers, all of these things are reducing the volume of comics that retailers are bringing in, and therefore reducing the potential discount that they're getting. So it could well be that I'm not one of these stores, but I'm absolutely positive there's at least, you know, 1% of the stores out there which are going to be getting a 1% lower discount on every single Marvel book they buy, not just the ones affected by this crossover, because these books are late.
That's an interesting point that I hadn't thought about.
Which is why we have Brian on the phone. How do retailers and can retailers do anything about this? Like, is this one of the things that was brought up earlier in the cast was if all the retail or a big chunk of the really important comic retailers said, you know what, we're not going to order these such and such titles, would that make someone at Marvel pay attention, or would that just be a lost cause?
Well, I mean, it would probably make someone at Marvel pay attention, except you've got a couple of problems there. A, retailers could not collectively do this and discuss it ahead of time, because that would be collusion. That would be against federal law. In other words, if the top 10 retailers in America each call each other up and went, you know what, we're not going to order this, we would actually go to prison for that. That's not, you can't do that according to federal law. The other part of the question is there are still going to be some percentage of customers, probably, hopefully, 98.9% of them are still going to want Civil War. You don't want to screw all of your other customers, just for that. I mean, it's cutting your nose off to spite your face.
So is it safe to assume that you won't be messing with your order numbers? You'll still order as if they had come out on time?
No, I'm gonna trim the numbers probably 10%, 20%, something like that. I mean, I haven't decided yet, and we're not going to have to make that decision for another 4 or 5 weeks with the way the final order cutoff system works. But yeah, no, I mean, I'll definitely be trimming my numbers a bit because I fully expect that there's going to be some number of customers who are going to walk away from this. Hopefully I'm not going to cut too much. Hopefully I'll cut just exactly precisely the right number, though that's not how retail actually works.
I don't know, it sounds a little off to me, because it's not like this part of Civil War ended on a low point where you're like, when the next part comes out, it comes out. I mean, it kind of left you in this next part of this point where I can't wait to get the next issue. So to think that there's going to be, you know, even a percentage of people reading this and you're about halfway through going, you know what, they're going to miss a month, I'm not interested anymore, I can't follow through. I was actually in a comic book store today where some lady was talking to an employee there saying, you know, I overheard in the news that there's something going on called Civil War. Can you tell me a little bit about it? And she seemed interested, and she was there for her kids who were getting sports cards. So, I mean, I think there's still going to be that kind of interest in it regardless. Plus, with it being delayed, now you have Moon Knight crossovers. You also have, you know, the Iron Man's going to be coming out, so you can get a little bit more of what's going on in his mind without too much of the main storyline coming out in advance. So you can kind of that's one of the things I found kind of lacking, was you're not really getting the Iron Man point of view. So now you can get it as it continues to progress on early enough that maybe you're going to switch sides.
Well, but here's the thing, though. You can't really predict how consumers are gonna react to something. I mean, you know, I could name any number of, you know, 6-issue miniseries where, you know, customers bought 1 through 5 and then all of a sudden all decided not to buy number 6. You know, not all, obviously, but a significant percentage that you go, well, how the heck did that happen? You know, books that aren't even late, I'm talking about. I'm talking about books that are on time, that all of a sudden people have bought 5/6 of the story and they just suddenly stop buying it. This kind of thing does happen all the time in retail and in comics retail. When you add the delays into that, it increases the likelihood that that is the kind of behavior you're going to see. You know, we can chalk it up to all anecdotal evidence, but certainly on the bulletin boards, on the message boards, you know, and not just on Newsarama, but on Millar's board, on Bendis's board, there are people who are saying, I am going to stop buying this book. Now, are they all liars? Clearly, they're not all liars. Clearly, some of them actually believe that.
Do you see Marvel doing anything other than just allowing you to adjust your numbers, as in maybe higher discount to everybody across the board?
You know, I would love it if they gave some sort of makeup on this. Will they do so? I don't know. I mean, I suspect that there are elements within in Marvel that understand the full ramifications of the cost of this to retailers, and are arguing, you know, to do things to make it up. And I'm sure that there's, on the other side, people who definitely don't believe that's a factor at all. You know, who's going to win? I don't know. Whose side are they on?
What about Tom Brevoort's comment about they're looking at the long term, they're looking at the trade sales, they want the art to be to have just one artist on the book so that trade sale, it doesn't mess up the trade collection.
I'm absolutely sympathetic to the long-term view there, and I'm absolutely sympathetic to the art versus commerce, art must win argument. The thing is I don't think that Civil War, I mean, for lack of a better word, Civil War is not fucking Watchmen. It isn't. I mean, any of those kind of comparisons I just find completely silly. The long-term sales potential for a big mega crossover kind of event, your Secret Wars, your Crisis on Infinite Earths, your Infinity Gauntlets, whatever, yeah, they sell just fine as trades. But then, you know, 5 years after the event is done, no one cares. You know, we sold, you know, thousands of copies in this store of Death of Superman, and, you know, these days I maybe sell a copy a year, maybe, of the trade paperback. So I don't really find that to be too compelling of an argument because of the nature of this particular work. I also really strongly believe that if you walked into a comic shop and just started randomly polling people, you know, who's the artist of Civil War, I doubt if 1 in 4 would be able to tell you that his name is Steve McNiven. You know, I really doubt that.
And what do you think, this is all hindsight, but what do you think Marvel could have done to, because I've polled some comic stores around the country, some people found out the day before, some people found out the day of, some people found out a few days before through some mailer that Marvel puts out. To make this announcement the day before the issue was going to ship, what do you think they should have done differently?
Well, I mean, I think, and, you know, this is me being a Monday morning quarterback, and so nothing I say has any validity whatsoever. I have no idea really what it takes to schedule and produce comic books. That's just not my field. My field is selling them once they actually arrive. But were it me, you know, in pretty much all cases, I would never solicit any comic book ever unless I had it in hand or at least 90% ready to go. You know, that I had 18 of the 22 pages drawn and colored and inked, that would be when I would solicit that comic book. I wouldn't try and solicit it before then. So what I would do if I were Marvel is I wouldn't have solicited Civil War until I had 4 of the issues done, completely finished. I wouldn't have solicited the very first issue and gone from there. You know, and believe me, this isn't a Marvel problem or Marvel exclusive problem by any means. I mean, look at the ridiculous schedule on All-Star Batman and Robin number 5. You know, originally they promised that it was coming out to us in April. You know, and now it's coming out in November. I mean, how does that happen? How the hell does that happen? You know, that's just absurd. I mean, this is the second time they resolicited it too. They should have known last time. It's not done. We don't have it. We can't sell it to you. You know, and a lot of my frustration over this comes from the fact that 3 weeks ago they did the final order cutoff for Civil War number 4. At that time, they knew there were people in the office, maybe not the person who sent out the final order cutoff, but there are people in the office who knew for a fact that it was not going to ship this last Wednesday. They knew that, and yet they still took the final order cutoff date, you know, and presented it to us as though it were fact. So for the last 3 weeks, you know, people come, hey, when's Civil War coming in? It's going to be 3 weeks from now. Last week, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks from now, last week. It's going to be next week, you know, and then, oh, sorry, it's going to be another 6 weeks from now. You know, that's not a good position for a retailer to be in, because the customer pretty much automatically assumes you're lying. You know, 90% of the people who walk in my door haven't even heard of Newsarama. They don't even know what that is. So they don't know. They haven't read these message board postings. They don't know the story. They think that I'm lying to them. You know, because they go, well, look, it says here on Marvel's checklist, it's supposed to be here now. I was just at Marvel.com 3 days ago, and it said, it's here on Wednesday. Where's the comic book? You're lying to me, Mr. Retailer. You know, this happens. Believe me, this happens. As crazy as that sounds, it happens.
Oh, yeah.
So do you think this is a not to use this word, but like a lesson to retailers that if you're going to bank your money on a big crossover, you should also, and I guess this goes even when there aren't events and things like that, but you should be selling those titles that you know a reader's going to read for years, you know, like even if they're smaller titles, if it's a Manhunter or Daredevil or Firestorm or something like that, but get them to invest in those titles that you know do have a shelf life continuously, month in, month out, and not to always go for the flash in the pan.
Generally speaking, I mean, you know, if someone walks in off the street and says to me, yeah, you know, I saw this guy on Colbert the other day, and he was talking about some comic, it kind of sounded interesting. I mean, you don't say to him, well, you know what? You should be buying Watchmen. No, you show them the comic book they come in asking for. But in terms of your greater point, yeah, absolutely. I mean, a smart comic shop is diversifying their stock, is offering a wide range of material to people. You know, the comic book that I make the most money on every year, and pretty much have for the last 10 years, is Sandman. Sandman finished 15 years ago, and I still make more money off that every single month than I do almost anything else, because I'm pushing those trades, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree that it's in the store's best interest not to monofocus their clientele or monofocus their stock.
Well, great. Brian, thank you so much for joining us. I know there's so much more we could pick your brain about, but I just wanted to make sure we got the retailer point of view. And
sure.
It's now that I hear your voice and your passion, man, it just puts a whole new spin on your columns as well. I think it's great.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I know I sound angry most of the time, but, you know, I actually, this is how I'm sounding in my head when I'm writing this stuff, you know. I believe in this business, and I believe in what I'm doing, and I love comics more than just about anything, and that's what I get so kind of frustrated and upset about is, you know, how come my partners can't do the same things that I do? You know, I turn in my order forms in on time, I give them good information, I pay my bills on time, you know, so you've got to keep your side of the commitment as well. Don't promise me stuff that you can't deliver. That's all. If they never promised us stuff they couldn't deliver, there would never be a problem between comic book retailers and publishers.
You know, sorry.
No, all I was going to say was I've been enjoying reading his column, going all the way back when I used to work at the shop. We used to get comic book resources from it was put out by Krause Publishing, and that was my buddy and I. Comic book retailer. That's right. Yeah. Comic book retailer, and. My one buddy and I who worked at the store, we always used to sit there and read his column word for word from start to finish and just, you know, marvel at this man's passion. So I salute you, sir.
Thanks very much.
One last question before you go, and I know this is a whole other topic, but it was brought up on our forum. Could retailers survive if the monthly format changed to like a 6-week or a biweekly shipping? Say if we were to
bi-monthly
shipping. If we were to cater to artistic demands and writing demands and, you know, the just
enabling the lateness.
Not enabling the lateness, but just saying, you know what, we know we can't get it out monthly, so we're now going to change the series to 6 weeks. Could a retailer survive that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it as long as there's comics coming out every week, you know, your cash flow is brought in right now, at least, by the regular weekly buyer. And so as long as there are things for the regular weekly buyer to buy every week, it really kind of doesn't matter whether Amazing Spider-Man, for example, ships every 4 weeks or every 6 weeks. What's important is that they know that that's what's happening. You know, people like to hold up Ultimates as an example of, well, you see, late comics don't affect anything. That comic's constantly late. The difference is that the clientele knows what the circumstances are with Ultimates. They know that it's not going to come in every month. They're aware of that, so they're fine with that. The problem is when you believe that a book is going to ship monthly, and then it doesn't. And you keep coming in, you keep asking about it, and you keep asking about it, and eventually, sooner or later, a significant number of people get frustrated at that, and they stop buying that comic book. You know, I think it's completely irresponsible, for example, for DC to have solicited Wonder Woman as a monthly comic when it's not going to come out except on a bi-monthly schedule. You know? That's just not the way to launch a book. Now, if they had launched it as a bi-monthly and they had told everybody up front, that's a different thing altogether. The clientele knows what the story is, and they know what to expect. But when you come in 4 weeks later looking for Wonder Woman or two, you start getting angry. Why isn't this here? I don't understand why this isn't here. And that's really where the concern lies, is in what the customer expectation is. You know, customers will buy an annual comic book. You know, they'll do that if that's what they know what the rules are. But if they're expecting it monthly and they only get it 10 times a year, that's going to make them angry.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time, and I look forward to talking with you again. Hopefully not in this kind of situation.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Take care, man.
So long.
Bye.
He's right. Late Superman, Batman stopped ordering it. Supergirl stopped ordering it. Ultimates stopped ordering it. Astonishing X-Men, even though it technically wasn't late, stopped reading it. Planetary stopped. These are all books that are quality books. I guess you could argue Supergirl.
Well, have you been reading Superman, Batman lately?
Yeah, and that one too.
Okay.
But I don't pick it up in monthly, and I don't pick it up in trade.
Well, see,
the Ultimates I did, but I have not touched Planetary since issue 16.
Just wait till that series completely over, and
that's why I
put out the mega omnibuses. Yeah. It's a refrigerator size.
Ultimates is the same thing. I don't buy it monthly. I bought the first series monthly, and then waited, and then bought the hardcover, and then read the hardcover, and now I'm like, I'm just waiting until this series ends.
I'm waiting because I just want a hardcover to match my hardcover.
Well, and that too. I mean, once you start doing that, you kind of want to keep that going. But yeah, it does affect sales. I mean, eventually I may buy that stuff, but I mean, I'm not going to buy it by monthly. You know, I'm not going to buy when the issues come out because I just won't buy the issues. Mm-hmm. I'll wait until the trade comes out, and then I can read the whole story at one time, not get vested into a story, and then have to wait 5 months for the next issue to come out. And then you're like going, well, what did I read last time? Wait a minute, you know.
Well, when they talk about the art versus the story in this event, the tie-ins are not, they're not tying into Civil War because of Steve McNiven's art. Yeah. They're tying in because of the story.
Right.
And, you know, it just seems like...
Well, that's why I said, I don't buy it. That's what I'm saying. I don't buy the excuse. There's just, you know, I've said it before, and I still feel that way. I don't feel it. It is an art problem. I just don't feel it. That's what they're putting out there, but I just don't...
Well, and there's some people who are saying that it's a change in the story, which to me, I don't really... They're comparing it to Armageddon 2001, but that was a last-minute change when it had to deal with the last possible second. This is something that's midway, that they're testing the waters, they're feeling the tie-ins, things are changing, they're getting feedback from the listeners, which they didn't get back in Armageddon 2001.
Sure.
So if it is a story change, whether it's a small, significant part of the story or not, I don't mind that. I don't think that excuses the delay, but I that part of the argument I don't really that doesn't bother me.
Yeah, because what have we heard? I mean, I haven't heard any kind of rumblings on other than our own speculation on what's going to happen, what's going on, unless we've hit the nail on the head all the time and they think we're ruining it, but. I haven't really heard any you know, speculation as what was there for Armageddon 2001 of, you know, to reveal the entire mystery and to ultimately ruin it.
Right. Well, they don't have to change the story for us as long as we get credit.
Yeah, that's right.
On the last issue.
As long as we get some writer's credits.
So we have on the phone John Mayo, certainly the master in our circle of the numbers. And John, before we actually... pick your brain on some of this stuff. You are there, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, there you are. Do you have time to give?
Yeah.
Okay. I did through our MySpace page, oddly enough, we have several comic retailer stores throughout the country who are our friends, who have their own MySpace page. things like that. So I put out a call to them to answer a few questions to see what their feedback was, and it is very different, very varied. And John, I think it's great to have you on the phone while you listen to this, since this is something that I thought you might be interested in.
Yeah, definitely.
And I did also say that some of them could say their name, some of them could be anonymous, and out of the responses I got, only three asked to be anonymous. Okay, so I'll just go through a bunch of these, and you guys can comment as you see fit. Dave Phipps from Essential Comics, Exeter, PA, 1089 Wyoming Avenue. Not Exeter here in Reading. Exeter, like an actual Exeter. I think it's near Erie or something.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's like, what the
heck? I know. We have a township of Exeter or whatever the heck it is. He said, the three questions I asked were, number one, how did you hear about the news of the Civil War delay? He says, David Gabriel from Marvel made an announcement Tuesday night. Tuesday night meaning probably the same announcement that everybody saw in Newsarama. Yeah. Number two, how will this affect your store? I suspect there will be little to no significant negative effect on the store. This will give many Civil War readers a chance to check out related titles, such as Frontline and Young Avengers Runaways, Spider-Man Unmasked issues, etc. The only problem would be having fewer new issues of Amazing Spider-Man and Fantastic Four to sell. I'm guessing we'll be looking at two less issues by year's end than would have been published but for the delay with Civil War. Late shipping really hasn't affected sales on titles such as All-Star Batman, All-Star Superman, Ultimates 2. Sure, there is some drop-off from issue to issue, but it's consistent with the typical drop-off I see on every other title. Secret War 4 and 5 sold just fine despite being so late. Will this change how you... And third question, will this change how you place orders for future Civil War solicitations? Probably not. I expect the order for Civil War 4 to be the same whether it was being released on 8/16 or 9/20. And then at the end, I said, any other comments greatly appreciated. He says, I don't like late books, but a smarter store owner than myself said greatness takes time. John, you have the numbers, and I know you probably don't have it in front of you, but I'm pretty sure Secret War 4 and 5 was solicited monthly, but then became late. It wasn't like it was late, and the solicitation was also late.
You know? I had thought Secret War was originally set to be quarterly.
Yeah, it was.
Right. Okay, right. So, but still, the solicitations came out on time. It's just the book that came out late, correct? I'm pretty sure I waited. It sat in my DCBS order for a long time.
I don't have that in front of me, and honestly, I don't know either way. I don't recall anyone being up in arms about it being late, but I can't speak to it being on time either.
Right.
It definitely was late. The fifth issue or whatever was definitely late.
Okay, this is from... Anybody have any comments on this?
No, I'm pretty sure it was resolicited. I think it was initially solicited, but then when they realized how late it was going to be, there's was that Marvel class action suit that Brian brought against them. They have to, after a certain amount of time of soliciting it, they have to cancel that solicitation, and they have to re-solicit it.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure both 4 and 5 were resolicited at one point. You may have initially ordered them, but I'm almost 100% sure that
you
was one of the ones that
I think I recall that happening with 5. I don't recall about 4, but I think you may be right on all that. Yeah.
You know what else is interesting is when we get resolicitations, those orders are then canceled from our DCBS order.
Yes, they are.
So when you were saying before about your money being tied up, they shouldn't be tied up.
But this one won't be resolicited. This will be they've already announced that it was late, so they won't resolicitate because it's more
than fall into the category of rescheduled, I think, versus resolicited.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If they know they're not going to be able to make, because I'm pretty sure, like I said, I'm pretty sure it's you have 3 months or so before you have to cancel the initial order and then resolicit. So a month.
Is this the month that issue 5 is solicited?
No. September.
September 6 was solicited in August.
Right.
Issue 6?
In August. Yeah. In August for October release.
Yeah. October would be.
Because they're going to be a 2 month delay.
Because 5 would have been September.
So
4 would
October
have been
means December, and that's when it's rescheduled
from November to January.
Crunch the numbers.
Number 7.
So, like I said, I don't think it's going to be
really solicited.
You're going to have to resolicit it. They're going to.
Yeah, they'll be alright.
Because it's also they have to resolicit it if there's a change in artist, if there's a change in any way they solicited it. Writer, inker, you know, stuff like that, then they have to resolicit it, too.
Which is interesting, then, why they don't ever list inkers and letters.
That's
like
why
that.
They don't.
That's interesting.
That's totally why the Marvel solicitations became as vague as, you know...
possible.
As vague as, you know.
And also why they don't always provide cover art.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Exactly. That's totally, that all comes back to that class action suit.
Okay, Matthew Hawes from Comics Unlimited in Evansville, Indiana, comicsunlimited.biz. He says, to the question number one, how did he hear? On a message board and then on Newsarama. Number two, how will this affect your story? I think that as long as the new date stays in effect, it will not adversely affect things at the time. However, if that date comes and the book is delayed further, I can see it hurting sales. Sales for Daredevil Father, Spider-Man Black Cat, and various other titles were adversely affected by the lateness of those books. How will this change how you place future orders? That's number three. It will if this happens again. I dislike any late books. Ultimately, no pun intended, they all hurt the industry. I keep hoping that the publishers will get serious and make sure that comics are published on time, regardless of the talent involved. A regular series is bad enough, but there is no excuse for a miniseries to be late. Yeah, there was an occasional late comic back in the day, but never as bad as it is these days. The whole business of late comics is frankly disgusting in how rampant it has become and the blatant unprofessionalism with creators and publishers. This is from Scott, Double Midnight Comics and Collectibles in Manchester, New Hampshire. He received a text message from his brother and co-owner after he saw the Marvel mailer. Number two, the major problem I have with the delay is that it pushes the books into the holiday season. With everyone spending on gifts and paying off credit cards, it is less likely they will be buying all the tie-ins, variants, etc. We also have a lot of people who come into the store after hearing about Civil War, people who heard about it from a friend, the media, etc. They come in every week, every other week, looking for the next issue. Having to wait 9 weeks between issues may turn those people off to it. Number three, I think it all depends on the books. A lot of our regulars will still keep up with it no matter how bothered they are by it. If it's a good story, they'll get it. We don't have the money to... and then I asked him a question about the money, the profits from those books that being pushed to the next month. He says, we don't have the money tied up with it yet. Marvel instituted a program called Final Order Cutoff, which allows us to increase or decrease our initial order 3 weeks prior to the book's release. If we notice a downward trend in Civil War sales, then we can adjust accordingly. We have to pay for the book 7 days after we get them. Some stores may have it set up differently. We tend to look at the month's previous sales as well as what our subscribers ask for, i.e., if 25 of our subscribers are looking for She-Hulk number 12, then we start with that and look at what we may have left over from the previous few issues. Again, that was me asking him about how does he order his books if a certain segment of it is not coming out that month. This is our first anonymous post. How did you hear about the news of the Civil War delay? We learned of the delays from the Marvel mailer email. How will this affect your store? It will certainly have an impact on our weekly sales. With a number of large selling titles being delayed, how can it not? We are a full line store, though, and don't really rely on any one publisher for majority of our weekly sales. A few of our customers take the opportunity to use the balance of their weekly comic budget to pick up a trade paperback they had been holding off on or try out a new series. I'm sure that we'll be answering a bunch of questions regarding the late titles. Our customers have become accustomed to late shipping books. It is unfortunate that we've all been put in a place where late books are becoming so commonplace. And while they may be upset by the delays, I think that most of them understand that these things happen. I think that a large majority will pick up the same books they were planning on purchasing prior to the delay. Will this change how you place future orders? I don't anticipate any major changes to our initial orders on future Civil War issues, but thanks to Marvel's FOC program, we will be able to adjust our orders based prior to this issue's ship date. As we do with all Marvel titles, we'll evaluate our sales and adjust our orders accordingly. It has been 31 years since we've opened our doors. When something like this comes up, we roll with the punches and do the best we can to service our customers. Thanks for requesting our input. I'm a regular listener of your podcast and appreciate the work you guys do. Aaron Halen from A Comic Shop says, and anybody who wants to say anything can feel it. Make sure you step in. We heard about it in a regular Marvel retail email, part of which was posted online publicly later that night by Marvel. What sucks is the book had been pushed back the week before to September 6th, so this was 2 more weeks additional delay. Number two, I'll have to answer the questions about shipping delays every day and disappoint my customers. It will also lower our revenue for the entire month of August, so I'll have to cut back some on payroll hours. I'm going to push other books that I know will ship on time, like Garth Ennis's The Boys. But really, I was seeing more new faces in my store than with any other project, and those folks aren't used to the kind of lateness regular comics readers are. I would have loved for Marvel to have a good fill-in artist to do an issue or two to keep it monthly. Marvel could have found someone with a similar style to do an issue at the very least. Also, I firmly believe Marvel knew they couldn't make this ship monthly from the start. Statements from the writer and artist confirmed this for me. they expected to fill an artist. This is not a book that is a singular artistic vision like Dark Knight or Watchmen. This is a high-profile, line-wide crossover with company-controlled characters pushing the entire publishing house forward. To delay all of this for an artist is silly to me. I feel Marvel rushed Civil War 1 out so that it would hit the shelves the same week as DC's Infinite Crisis number 7 and before DC's 52. Marvel should have waited until more of the work was in the can and not worried about what the other guy was doing. DC had artist fill-ins on Infinite Crisis, and that book increased in sales from the point fill-in artists were used until the end, a strong case to not lose momentum on a crossover. I'm going to order, number 3, I'm going to order for demand and lower my orders up to 3 weeks before the book shipped, if that's what I feel I can sell. I'm not going to say anything negative in my store about Civil War. I love the book, and I'm sure most people will buy what they can when it comes out. However, I don't want to be stuck with unsaleable copies if demand dips from Marvel's poor planning, so I will be quick to order less. It should be said that while McNiven is a stellar artist, no one I've talked to is reading the book for him. Everyone is talking about the story, and Mark Millar, this is in no way an artist-driven book. To me, this is a concept-driven, politically charged work. The art is secondary. Roy Thompson, Phantom of the Attic in Monroeville, PA, out in Pittsburgh, where we were. And pretty much everybody's response is that they either heard it from the mailer sent by Marvel or Newsarama. The main fallout from this will obviously be the monetary loss of sales from Amazing Spider-Man and FF. And I suppose you can throw in the new Punisher War Journal series for those 2 months. I'm not happy about it, but I'm not yet ready to go screaming for the bell tower. I don't want to sound like a Marvel apologist because they really have seriously dropped the ball here, but I can deal with this short-term bungle. Again, not to sound like an apologist, but let's not forget Civil War and all the crossovers has been a boon in sales dollar to I'd say, most comic shop. It has been in mine anyway. If I see my customers react negatively to this lateness, then I'll reduce orders where I can, but I really don't think this will have a profound effect on total sales. The beauty of the Marvel FOC should allow us retailers to react to some of the drop in buying habits. 2 days in, and I'm hearing some disappointment, but no one here says they're ready to throw in the towel just yet. Let's see. This is from Car D'Angelo, Earth-2 Comics, Sherman Oaks, California. Marvel contacted retailers prior to the official news release, so we would have a heads up, a smart and classy move. How will this affect your store? Mostly it means weeks of people asking if the new issue of Civil War is out yet, but we are used to that with Ultimate Wolverine/Hulk, All-Star Batman and Robin, and a few other books. Someone came in last week asking for Battle Chasers.
You step out of a time machine?
Yeah, really. However, there's still a lot of good reading out there, and we expect to direct people to those books in the meantime. Civil War is still the story that people want to read, so I don't foresee ordering any less than I have already sold. In terms of tie-ins, we will continue to order what we think we can sell. The Avengers and Spider-Man crossover issues are the most relevant and best-selling, and we expect the trend to continue. But as it reaches its midpoint, Civil War is changing the Marvel Universe in ways that are going to echo across the whole line. That's why it's so popular. While I know there's disappointment at the new schedule, people still want to read the story when it comes out, and as soon as the new issue arrives, everyone will be talking about the return of Thor and not the schedule. Oops, spoiler. This is an anonymous from Newsarama. He says, the sales I was expecting will decrease and it's too late and my money is too tied up to up orders on other titles for those weeks, months. It certainly was far too late for August. Unlike what is being said in interviews, this isn't like any other situation ever, and retailers are unfairly taking the brunt of it all. I also have to rethink future orders for all publishers because my budget has now changed for the next few months. Regardless of how successful Civil War has been, this shift changes future orders since the money I'm expecting is now not there. Yes, I'm now asking the third question. Yes, I'm now asking my customers to pre-order as I won't be over-ordering the tie-in issues or the additional tie-ins and aftermath issues. I have several tie-in issues still on the shelf that just won't sell, and I refuse to be stuck with more. It will also make me rethink my ordering in general when it comes to overhyped events. We, the retailers, are just as much to blame for allowing this to continue, and Marvel has just opened a perfect opportunity that I hope will wake retailers up, especially the large ones that drive the market. Chris from Wild Pig 2 Comics in New Jersey. I heard about the delays via the weekly email Marvel sends out to retailers. I don't foresee any major problems. All my regulars, while disappointed, will continue to make their regular visits to the stop. It may actually increase anticipation. My only problem with the books has been the manner in which they've been released. For example, during the last week of June, almost every major Civil War tie-in shipped, 6 different titles to be exact. My bill that week was staggering. The following few weeks, virtually no Civil War tie-in shipped. Marvel claims to be concerned about our cash flow, and yet when we have only 7 to 10 days to pay Diamond, they load up almost everything in 1 week, almost ensuring the next few weeks will be a desert. Perhaps in their flight of fancy, all reservists came in like clockwork every week, but in the real world, especially during the summer, people's schedules aren't always so accommodating to our bottom line. Spacing out the Civil War tie-ins would make it easier on retailers to fill their weekly to meet their weekly bill, and it would maintain the cohesion and momentum of the crossover event. Overall, my orders will remain consistent. As with any big event, I tend to reduce numbers a bit on subsequent issues of many of the tie-in books, as I have to account for the fair-weather readers who pick up issue one and then lose interest. For example, X-Men Civil War, Young Avengers Civil War, Thunderbolts, etc. bolted out of the gate, but cooled down a bit by the second issue. Civil War, Frontline Avengers, and Amazing Spider-Man all sell briskly, as they are key books involving major events and iconic characters. Other books, such as the highly overrated Black Panther or the unpopular Cable Deadpool, can't seem to hide their mediocrity or unpopularity behind the Civil War banner. Sales on such books remain sluggish. I constantly have to keep in mind that comics are progressively getting more expensive, and the budget of customers, mostly middle-class people with families, can only be stretched so far.
How many more of these do we have?
These other two John, are kind of...
I'll try to get John in on this this week.
Let's get John to these lists.
Are you still going to your local store down there?
No, I do almost everything through DCBS. I only have a local store if I miss stuff.
Oh, you just killed me there.
Sorry.
I was going to ask if you had gone in and maybe talked to the retailer.
Well, actually, I can't answer that because one of the retailers here in town, I checked his website and he had posted about it. And he was reasonably upset and felt the need to vent, and I totally understand that. And again, you know, he picked up on the fact that, you know, if anyone gets hurt by this, it's really going to be the retailers. You know, these things are a crapshoot as to how much to order to begin with. And then to throw a 1 or 2 month delay or 2.5 once you get towards the Civil War Frontline 9 and 10 issues and stuff, and it makes it even harder. So, you know, I think there's definitely, you know, major discontentment. Not only about the delay, but I think more with the timing of how people found out. You know, I'm not sure when this Marvel email went out. It sounds like on Tuesday. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now,
nobody knew about this any more than 2 days at the most.
That to me is a downright criminal, because I mean Diamond knew Monday what was getting shipped out, because, well, they had to ship it. Prior to that, Marvel had to get it to the printers, they had to get it to Diamond, they had to get stuff ready. So it's inconceivable that this problem suddenly cropped up this week.
But let's not ignore the possibility that the book is finished, but Marvel just made a decision to hold off so that they could more properly plan for all future issues and all the crossovers and everything, and instead of, you know, the fact that they didn't know until the last minute. Maybe they made a last-minute decision.
You mean like 4 is done, but say 6 isn't done, so rather than push off the schedule later, they're doing it now when it's almost halfway.
Do you think that's more likely than the case where they knew but didn't want to say anything, say 2 or 4 weeks ago during, you know, either the San Diego or Chicago conventions?
I mean,
I'm being cynical here, and I hate to be that way, but I hear what you're presenting there, Brian. I don't see that as very likely. They've taken such a hit on this that if they could have gotten it out sooner, I think they would have.
But I mean, you kind of have to play devil's advocate, and I've said it before that I don't buy the excuses that they've been putting out. And what if there is a change, that they decided to make a change in the story, and it does kind of reflect onto something that maybe transpires in issue 4, and now they're trying to get that all in line, so it does call for a last minute pullback on it and reschedule things. What does it matter?
Well, and that's entirely possible. I mean, I think the bigger fallout from this isn't going to be that the issues are late, or even why they're late, or how well they do or don't sell because of that. But I think this was kind of a major shattering of faith that people had in Marvel. Tom Brevoort came out and basically was it seemed like, from what little I've read, blaming the writer, blaming the artist. I mean, just throwing out things left, right, and center. gee, we couldn't do a fill-in artist, that would be bad. And, you know, tossing in what I thought were a couple of snide remarks about DC and stuff. And doing that in and of itself, I think, is pretty bad. Doing it after the item should have shipped is inexcusable. If they need to retool, if they had delays or whatever, that's unfortunate. But, I mean, as, you know, many of the retailers Peter had talked to had mentioned, we've kind of gotten used to that. I think it's more a matter of the anger and frustration coming from Marvel not being upfront about this sooner.
I just, since you're a numbers guy, I'm going to go back to the days, Jamie, when we worked at the store. And we know for a fact now that the huge percentage of comic readers do not read the internet. So probably, you know, 80% of readers of Civil War don't even know that it was delayed, as of right now, you know. Because we also know from working at the retail shop that most people don't come in every week to buy their books. We had the regulars who were always there.
Yeah.
But if you looked at those boxes full of subscriptions, most of them came in every other week, every 3 weeks, once a month.
I would agree with that entirely.
So if you're talking about some guy who comes in once a month to buy his books, the next time he comes in, Civil War 4 will be sitting there waiting for him, you know? Or he might go, oh, it's not here yet? All right, but then the next time he comes, it'll be there. I mean, I really think, and like a lot of these retailers said, they don't think it's going to hurt their bottom line, because I really think that most people are in the dark about this, and over the next couple of weeks, when they make their, you know, semi-monthly trip to the store, they'll say, oh, okay. And maybe, and like, again, like some people, they don't even know. They just say, I mean, how many people do you have? Because I remember this. They just walk up to the counter, give me what's in my box. You ring them up, they walk out. They never even look at the shelf. They never even, like, they barely flip through their stuff to see what's there. They're not asked. They weren't asking question, where's this, where's that, did this come out, did that come out? They just get their stuff and they go home. That was quite a few people would do that.
What about stores?
I would totally agree with that. I like to think I'm something of a hardcore reader in many respects. And if this whole fracas, you know, hadn't, you know, cropped up or whatnot, I'd have gotten my next shipment from DCBS, I'd have gone through it, and I wouldn't have even noticed Civil War wasn't in there.
Right. Now, what about the stores? And I have to assume that Midtown Comics in New York has to be in the top 20% of comic retailers, because they just do major amounts of business. They don't have pull lists. People just go in and buy their books. So, like, to say what Brian Hibbs was saying, you know, if someone comes in every week, where's Civil War? Not, it's not here. Where's Civil War? Oh, it'll be November 20th. November 20th? I mean, September 20th, you know what I mean? Like, that store has massive amount of traffic, but not one of them has a pull list.
Truthfully, I asked Peter on Sunday, when's the next time Civil War is coming out? Because I don't know the dates. But why don't you just hang a sign that says, unfortunate delays, it'll come out next month. Then you won't get asked every week.
But if they keep seeing that, though, you know,
I'll just make it up.
I saw that it was delayed, okay. Like, if they had a specific date, yeah, that's one thing. But if they didn't know, you know.
I'll be honest with you, this is the one event that I haven't seen in a while where we are getting a lot of walk-in traffic. There honestly is a lot of people that don't have subscriptions that come in, walk over to Marvel, and are looking at and then they will come back over with anything and everything that has an infinite, you know, a crisis. A Crisis on Infinite Unmasking of Spider-Man, Avengers Disassembled sign on them, Civil War sign on them, and, you know, they want everything. And this is one crossover that they want everything. And I've seen people that I haven't seen in years coming back in the store. I've seen people I've never seen before coming into the store and buying this. And so, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, Brian, as far as that goes. I also see where our subscribers now actually are more. We have more of the come in every week subscribers than we used to.
I can totally, because there's been so much publicity and press on this. The other thing, the other thought that I had when Peter was reading some of these retailers' notes was, if they order light on 4 or 5, I think they're going to get burned, because I think the delays are allowing the non-comic reader who sees something on the Colbert Report to decide to go into the shop. And a lot of those people don't understand that a store might be likely to sell out by Wednesday evening. So they're going to casually go in like 3 weeks later and say, oh, the next time they're at the mall, they'll walk past the store and go, oh, yeah, I saw that on Letterman. I think I'll go see if they have that comic book.
Sure.
And if the book is delayed, then it gives them more time to get in to get that book. You know what I mean? And so if they order light on 4 or 5, when then there's that another delay or the delay after 4, that just gives all these casual people more of a chance to get to the store to buy this book. And it might make up for the 1% of people who absolutely refuse to buy it on principle, which I really think is going to be a tiny percentage.
Truthfully,
yeah, I think 1% would even be high on that.
Yeah.
And this is really an unprecedented event in many respects. Each of the first three issues so far has sold over 290,000 copies or so. You know, I don't think... In the last 10 years, we have not seen any series do that kind of numbers for three issues in a row. Hell, very few have even done it once.
Yeah.
And then you look at the crossovers, things like Thunderbolt doubling in sales. You know, this has been a wildly successful series for them.
Truthfully,
which is why it's even more unfortunate that they're having this problem.
Truthfully, I think this is one of those series that if you've never read a comic before in your life and you pick up Civil War number one, by the end, you're already caught up. You can kind of, you don't really need to worry about any of the older history. You're already there. You know what happened. I mean, the guy at the comic book store, as at today, explained to this woman everything that happened basically in the first three issues in less than a minute by just basically saying a couple of heroes, they got into a fight, kids wind up getting killed. The government decided to enact a law that you have to register and identify who you are and your powers. Some people say, okay, they'll do it. The other group of heroes say, no, they don't. Now they're fighting. That's all you need to say. Boom, you're already caught up with what's happening in issue number three.
And that was almost exactly what Quesada said on the Colbert Report. So, yeah, I mean, this is an amazingly accessible storyline.
Let me do these two last ones, and I've condensed them down just to some minor points that they have here. This is from Mark Bowker, AlterEgoComics.com in Lima, Ohio, or Lima. Publishers are treating creators with two different standards. There's the A-list standard for people like Frank Miller, Alan Heinberg, Steve McNiven, etc., and the everybody else standard. Everybody else is expected to turn in their work on schedule, while the A-listers apparently can do whatever they want. From a retailer perspective, I'm going to lose money because of the Civil War delay. I've already had multiple customers drop it from their pull lists. I've had people say that this is why I wait for the trade. Retailers are basically looking at a two-month dry spell that none of us were counting on. Then Marvel is going to cram all of the delayed books into a very small time frame, which will result in very expensive weeks for retailers and fans. And then from Ben at Star Clipper in St. Louis, Missouri. I expect the delays will have minimal impact on our way of doing business. Some folks think readership will drop as much as a third. I find that position to be somewhat alarmist, but I expect we'll FOC the titles down 5-7%. If we see a significant downturn on the next issue, perhaps we'll reconsider. But Astonishing X-Men had similar delays, and readership has remained quite consistent throughout the series. Anyone in this industry who couldn't see this coming a mile away had their head in the sand. This is a day in the life. Keep up the great work. We love you guys. Ben Starr, Clipper, St. Louis, Missouri.
Yep. There was one point I wanted to make, and I Brian had said, and I totally it went on my brain until Peter came back with it. You know, people who say they're going to cut their orders on 4 and 5. The reason, and I hadn't really gotten this when I was reading the other things until we came in here tonight. I mean, the reason they're delaying the rest of that line is because 5 is so integral to all the rest of these crossovers that they don't want to bring them out to ruin anything in 5. So if they cut their orders and 5 has the impact that Marvel thinks it's going to have, and Marvel was pretty much right on when it came to the impact number 3 had, or and number 2 had. So I'm kind of believing number 5 will have that same impact. They cut those orders, it's going to be tough for them to get reorders,
right,
especially
shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, especially exactly. if Marvel decides, okay, tell you what, we're going to print to what you order. If you're gonna, you know, cut us out from, you know, this. And I'm saying that sounds very vindictive.
Yeah, but if they won't do that.
If they would say we're gonna do your orders, we're going to maybe print a little bit extra, and then, you know, maybe we'll go back to a second printing if you want it. But if you're not going to support us, especially if they try to offer them some other kind of, like I said, some kind of discount, maybe make everything. everything that they, to keep their orders the same, make everything that was pushed back totally returnable, which is another thing they could do very easily, make everything that was pushed back returnable. I think actually they have to, but I would, if they made everything returnable, I'd keep my numbers exactly where they were for, you know, and not worry, because I agree with everybody else, this alarmist, you know, we're going to lose 5, we're going to lose 10, you know, we're going to cut 10%, we're going to cut 20%, we're going to lose a third of our readers. Bullshit. Exactly what Brian said will happen is they will say, I'm not going to buy it from you, but I'll go sneak across town and I'll buy it from over there so I can keep my integrity with you, right, but I'm actually still reading it.
Well, Marvel's definitely overprinting this. They're not printing
to
order.
I mean, definitely. Because well, I think by
the
word.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the reorder activity on the first two issues has been 32,700 copies for number one and over 46,000 copies for number two.
Jesus.
I mean, that's insane.
Right. That means that there's definitely plenty in stock.
Oh, I knew that. I told you that when we were doing the numbers, that I've never seen a Marvel book that was so accessible that we could, you know, when number two was out, we could still get number one. When number three was out, we could still get number one and number two. That just, you know, in this day and age of Marvel, if you can get it after the first week, you're lucky.
Right.
And some of these books, you know, you have been able to get. So, they definitely are overprinting.
I think also, fan point of view, that it's issue four is going to be delayed, I'm dropping the book, is kind of, is really jumping the gun, because that, to me, like Peter, you said you dropped, but Superman, Batman, Supergirl, and some other titles, but how many times have they been late? For this to be the first time that I could see if one was late and then two was, you know, something consistent, then you might want to consider it. But I think if those people were going, four's a month late, you know what, I'm dropping the book, I think they were going to drop it regardless, that they're just not interested in the story. Because there's no way for one
which
pause.
Is, there's nothing wrong with that, though. If they're not interested in a story, why
no,
is dropping
no, no,
it?
But don't drop it because they're late. By
yeah.
What, you know?
But why reward
it
a series?
Is insane.
But
I mean,
why reward
not
a series
happen.
That's late?
I don't think you're rewarded. I don't. To me, if I'm picking up and reading, it's because I'm interested in, not because I'm rewarded. I mean, I read Dark Knight Strikes Back, and that was how many part three was how many
months
late. It wasn't because I was trying to award the series, because I just wanted to finish off to see if it got any better, which read for yourself and make your own decision. But, you know, to me, it wasn't rewarding the series. It's because I have one, I have two. Why, hell, I got to get three. I got to see how the story ends. You can look at Star Wars, the original trilogy. The first two, then you get to Revenge of the Sith and you went to see it. But you had to go through those first two less than what you were looking for to get to the one that you want. So,
John, what's your opinion on all of this? I mean, how is this going to affect you personally?
Me personally, it's not going to have much impact at all. I'll read them when they come out. Sure, I'd like it to be sooner rather than later, but, I mean, I've got about 100 comics piled up in my to-read pile, so I got things to keep me busy.
I think it's more than that.
Not much more than that. I got the trades, too. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm disappointed. I am much more upset and outraged by the claims I'm hearing of, oh yeah, we just threw this together, we knew we didn't have enough lead time, the editor basically throwing the creative team out to the wolves, that sort of a thing. I see it indicative of larger problems. But quite frankly, it's not going to change what I buy, but hell, if it had been a 4-month or even a 4-year delay, I'd probably still get it. I mean, who am I kidding? And I think the sales are probably going to stay right up with how they would have been otherwise.
I have to agree with you.
I think that's how we end it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. This was your special report on
cool.
Civil War. 2 hours and counting.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what makes us do
end.
One of these again. So thanks, John.
Thanks, John, so much.
Yep, totally welcome to do it. I enjoyed it.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Have a good
See
Friday.
You on the forum.
Hey, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
All right. Let's not even get started another discussion. Let's
that's enough.
Let's just end right there.
We're out.
All right. We'll see you guys later in the week with regular episodes.
And that wraps up this syndicated episode of the Comic Book Page Podcast. My name is John Mayo, and I've been your host. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is podcast@comicbookpage.com. Thanks for listening.